You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
That's right. That's going directly out to... You're going to get rid of that Mr. Beal part. Good morning, geniuses. How's everybody out there? Philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, average folk. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We got, it seems to be a theme now starting to unveil itself on the network, at least between Randy and I. Like, you know, I've been obsessed with the Movie Network for years, and then we ordered the CD like 3 weeks ago. And now we got some sound clips, very exciting. And she is right. You should definitely rewatch that movie. I'm having a pretty good morning already. I felt awake. It's Friday. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, should we wish our Jewish listeners a happy holiday?
Why don't you wish me one?
Happy holiday. You don't say, you're not observant, man.
I know, but I feel...
You don't observe stop signs, much less religious holidays.
Some guy ran a stop sign right in front of me yesterday.
Really?
Well, Queens is sort of like...
as you will.
It's the Wild West out there, you know, the story is.
Yeah.
But I had one of these moments where it was a dude in an SUV. It clearly turned red. I'm about to cross the street, and a guy just gunned it through a red light. It had been red for like 2 seconds, and I actually had this moment where I felt like saying, "It's a law! Follow the laws!" You know, and then I realized that, you know, I could take a bullet for that. Like, I kind of wussed out because I was afraid for my own life. And that's sort of what it's like being under the Republicans. you feel like you can't say anything.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Paul Thompson in just a minute. He's sitting here. He actually swept here. He was on Randy's show yesterday. We came in, and he was sweeping with his book in his arms on the desk in Randy's studio. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good.
We're glad you're here, man. This is the earliest a live guest has ever arrived to be on Morning Sedition.
He's, of course, the author of The Terror Timeline, a year-to-year, day-by-day, minute-by-minute comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11. It's got it all. It's got it all. You can just connect the dots of almost like the last 40 years of evil in the world.
Yep.
Isn't it about right? About 40? Maybe not. Maybe 25 years. It goes back. It starts in what year does it start?
79.
79 goes 25 back.
25 years.
Afghanistan. So I'm watching, what did I do last night? What was I going to talk about? Oh, this whole, you know, Tucker Carlson. You know,
uh-oh.
Like, I can't stand this dude. I just can't stand him, and I know that's part of his appeal. That's part of the reason why people watch him. But, you know, he's a relatively attractive person with his dumb little bow tie, and I can't believe that he believes some of the crap coming out of his mouth. And I cannot stand the way that people in arguments use dismissive tactics as a mode of argument. It really pisses me off. Like, because Bagala, who, you know, was winning last night. I can't believe I get so involved in Crossfire. I don't like the fact that they treat it as a game. You know what I mean? Like, Novak and all those guys are just sort of... Like,
it is a game to them. They don't treat it like it's a game. Look, I saw Bob Novak standing in line at the White House to shake Bill Clinton's hand. That's the day I knew. It's all a game. It's always been a game.
But did you read Paul Thompson's book? This is not a game. People are dying.
What he's talking about isn't a game. But all of this punditry, all of this gas bag stuff, that is a game.
But,
and they get paid serious money to play it.
I was exhausted. I was exhausted yesterday. I felt sick. I drank too much coffee. I thought I was getting an ulcer. I'm laying on my couch wondering if my kittens had given me worms. All I wanted to do was go to sleep, and Tucker Carlson comes on, and I was reawakened with contempt. Like, I actually felt myself like I got to take a nap, and I'm too filled with hate for him. And I kept talking, you know, I kept staying up listening to him. But this whole dismissive tactic of, like, you know, when they were talking about the memos, the Killian memos, that they're starting to suspect are fraudulent. The way that Tucker Carlson reacts around Bush, it's condescending. The scene goes, yeah, I know Bush is evil. Okay, but. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, it was his fault. But, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I can't stand that tactic of argument.
I'm going to have to break this down for him, Paul. Excuse me for 1 minute.
What do you mean break it down?
Did you watch the commercials during that show?
No, I was napping during the commercials. And when I heard Tucker Carlson's voice, I hate him.
They play on the hate. They play on the fact that you hate him so much that you will watch through the commercials to see what he says next that's going to piss you off. And then he's got you. Because what they're trying to do is sell the products in between what Tucker Carlson says.
Why didn't they send him to Florida to get blown around in the hurricane? That I would have liked to see. Tucker Carlson like him being blown apart by
the my bow tie's in Alabama.
But here's the issue about this. Because I'm feeling a little freaked out about the memos, only in the sense that, you know, I wanted to believe that they were true. And there's still, you know, a possibility that they are true. And I know that the Democratic line right now is, you know, it doesn't matter. The stuff in the memos is true, and that may be right, but still the way it's going to be used by the media and what's happening is very disheartening to me.
It does matter whether or not they're true.
Yeah,
because if they are forgeries, first of all, if they're forgeries, my first instinct, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
My first instinct is to say this was a Republican trick.
And I'm with you on that. I think that a Republican planted them, if they are forgeries, to set up this. Like, this is a very interesting piece I just want to bring to people's attention. I got this. Mark Crispin Miller emailed this to me, and it's from a seetheforest.blogspot.com, and it talks about how this works, how they spin something like this, a Republican, the right. And like he's talking about, he said, remember the Sandy Berger smear? This was a story claiming that the President Clinton's national security advisor had smuggled incriminating documents out of the National Archives. Berger was completely cleared, but this was a planned smear, and it was in the works for months. And he talks about how, like, step by step, okay, well, along similar lines and listening to Limbaugh just now, I can see that the right's Bush Guard memo forgery is taking shape. That's a quote-unquote there, that's what they're calling it.
Mm.
All right? And he says that the entire Wurlitzer, the right's medial echo chamber that is able to repeat a lie over and over and over until it is the only story in the news, is cranked up and telling the public that CBS has been caught engaging in a smear against Bush using forged documents. Never mind that the document, one document, no plurals, in question is, you know, legitimate, and what is in it is right. So let's assume that it is legitimate. What happens is, in the step-by-step, is according to Limbaugh, okay, one document is said to look like it could have been typed on a modern computer. All right, the next step. Therefore, here's the logic. All such documents are forgeries. Therefore, CBS is intentionally working a smear on Bush. Therefore, any stories about Bush's National Guard service are not to be believed. He served honorably. Therefore, this proves that CBS, and by extension all mainstream media, is a tool of the liberal elite and is working hand-in-hand with the Kerry campaign to smear Bush. Again, by extension, any stories anywhere ever about Bush doing anything bad are liberal lies. See, this is how they spin something
this.
So the language, the dialogue about the content, and even the dialogue about the truth of the fact that Bush was AWOL, did not show up for duty, Boston, Alabama, all these things being true, being documented truths by word of mouth, by, you know, Lieutenant Governor Ben Barnes, saying that he greased the wheels to get him into the National Guard. Clearly, the entire history of Bush's entitlement and lack of responsibility for anything indicates, you know, that
hey,
he's
look,
guilty
let,
of
let,
it.
Let's boil this down to its essence.
Yeah.
If he had, in fact, served in Alabama, when he said, or when he was supposed to have been in Alabama, don't you think somebody in the National Guard would have been produced by now that said, yes, I saw him?
No, I believe that he was AWOL. You're preaching to the choir. I'm just pissed off that this thing happened and that I'd like to blame it on Karl Rove. Paul Thompson.
Yeah. Well, do you guys remember the story of James Hatfield, the author?
Yes.
He wrote
this
book, Fortunate Son.
Great book.
And it turns out that the leaks that were really damning to Bush about cocaine use, and this is an autobiography of Bush Jr.
Right.
Given by Karl Rove to James Hatfield, because James Hatfield had some pretty serious felony. So when the story came out, then it got leaked about the felony, and the story became about the author and how this guy is, you know, can we trust him because he has a felony? So it was a great way to sort of smear all the information in the book. Make it about the author instead of making it about what the story is actually
about.
Let
me understand what you're saying, though. You're saying that Karl Rove gave him the evidence of Bush's what in Fortunate Son, if you read it, there's a chunk of time where Bush all of a sudden started working for some sort of urban youth center, which, you know, is a community service task, that he the record of his supposed cocaine arrest or drunk driving arrest was purged in essence so he could do this community service. This was a speculation. You're saying that that was delivered to Hatfield by Rove?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Okay, so then what happens is Rove, Hatfield publishes the book, and then Rove knows, previous to giving him that information, that there's some dirt on him. He was somehow implicated in a contracted murder that his boss contracted from another job. He had substance abuse problems, and the speculation is that then Rove turned this on him, saying that, you know, how are you credible? You're a convicted felon. You know, your family doesn't even know that you did all this stuff. And it pushed him over the edge to the point where either he was, you know, suicided or suicide. He killed himself.
Yeah, and they pulped all the books. You know, the whole story of the book was basically destroyed.
So what this establishes is this is an established Rove tactic. And there's another indication, if you go see Bush's Brain or read that book about Karl Rove, is that, you know, he bugged his own office and blamed it on the Democrats during, I think it was that the, it wasn't...
that was during the Nixon years, was it? Or?
No, it was a local election during, it was in Texas. I'll find out during the break. Do you know what it was? All right.
Way back.
It was way back, but it wasn't Nixon. It was in the 80s. I think it was for a commissioner of public works or something. It might have been that dude Hightower, the dude who's a radio personality. So now I
think former Texas Agriculture Commissioner.
Yes. I think it might have. I will double check because, you know, that information is available. I didn't know we were going to go here, so I could, you know. But here we are. So what I'm trying to establish is if these are forgeries, I can guarantee you this was a Rove trick and it was designed to do exactly this, which is, you know, end the debate about Bush's service and make the debate about the credibility of the media, which is
a neat trick if you can pull it off.
It's an evil tactic, and I can't believe that it happened on such a grand scale. So let's talk about Karzai when we come back in the terror timeline, because he was almost killed yesterday. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
A bad vocabulary can sink you socially and professionally more quickly than bad breath. I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Million Dollar Vocabulary. If you fumble for the right words or use the wrong words, people make judgments about your background, your education, even your intelligence. Now, you can add hundreds of words to your vocabulary with Million Dollar Vocabulary, the cutting-edge learning system that teaches you how to lock words and their meanings into your memory so you can use them instantly and recall them for years. I can help you add hundreds of powerful words to your vocabulary, including words that are crucial for business success. It's fast, fun, and easy. You'll be amazed at the words you can use after 1 hour with Million Dollar Vocabulary.
Try Million Dollar Vocabulary risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-458-0599. 1-800-458-0599. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-458-0599.
Come out and cheer, cause football is here. Root for your favorite, you waited all year. We got the best of the NCAA.
All the top teams.
Yeah!
Fight, fight, fight.
Here's to the red, white, and blue. Game day's upon us, so grab the whole crew. Skip all the fuss, go to Sirius for game times and schedules too.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry. I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686.
Past the hour, almost 21 past the hour. Yes, 21 past the hour.
You get up on your little 21 inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today.
Yeah, and Unical. We're going to talk to Paul Thompson, author of the Terror Timeline, Year by Year, Day by Day, Minute by Minute, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11. His second appearance on our show, and he just dropped by because he slept in Randy's office last night because he's on their show and apparently he's got no place else to go. Quickly, before we get into Karzai, who was an oil executive, and into Afghanistan and some of the real reasons, you know, why, you know, terrorism started to sprout there, I just want to say that Mr. Rove, Karl Rove, this is, I'm clearing this up from the last segment, he was Bill Clements' campaign strategist in a 1986 governor's race in Texas. He was accused, this is Rove, was accused of bugging his own office to distract from a debate, according to James Moore and Wayne Slater, the authors of Bush's Brain. He bugged his own office, blamed it on the other team, on Clements' opponent.
Yes.
And even though it wasn't true, and even though it was clear, and everything was dubious about it, everything about the bug, the time the batteries actually had run, that it was clear that it was a setup, it changed the entire public perception of the guy.
And that was the point.
And that was it. And that's, I think, is what's happening with these forgeries. So now yesterday, we've got reports that...
Alleged forgeries.
They are alleged forgeries. And again, I will say that if they are forgeries, I will be disappointed. But again, you know, what's in those documents is true, but the issues are essentially now the economy, healthcare, the ongoing war in Iraq, which is out of control. Karzai, Hamed Karzai, the most well-dressed, he's not a dictator, the most well-dressed politician in the world, the most well-dressed president. That dude looks like he has a manicurist on duty all the time. He has a guy that just sort of like, wait, please, and then tilts his hat just right before he goes out. Just immaculate. Looks like he spends time at the gym. He looks like a haberdasher, an Afghani haberdasher, doesn't he? So apparently he was about to get on a helicopter when a rocket flew out of nowhere, and that had him postpone his trip, understandably so.
Yeah, he was about to land. This was in Gardez, which is 100 miles south of Kabul.
Okay, get off a helicopter. He's about to get off a helicopter, and they had to take a little detour because of it.
Yeah, they shot a rocket-propelled grenade at him. It missed. It almost hit a school, according to the American military. But no one was injured.
And whose name was on the grenade, does it say? Did anyone take responsibility? I imagine a...
Taliban, apparently there's some Taliban forces that have said that they were responsible. For some unexplained reason, the Americans say they don't know.
So, Paul Thompson, what is the history of Karzai? You know, where did he come from and why him?
Well, one thing you have to remember is that he's not really the leader of Afghanistan. He's basically the mayor of Kabul.
Right.
The forces, his forces... barely even control all of the city of Kabul, and you have all these warlords who are controlling different parts of the country, and the Taliban are really coming back in a big way. But he actually had a history of being, I think it was a consultant for Unical, a big oil company, and then the U.S. representative to Afghanistan, I think he's actually the ambassador of these, is another guy called Zalmay Khalazid, I believe. I'm probably getting the pronunciation wrong. But turns out he also worked for Unical in the past.
And there's a lot of speculations about you know, the property in Afghanistan being essential to running this Caspian Sea pipeline, right? The Uzbekistan pipeline through Afghanistan. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a controversial topic, but it sure seems like that the idea of having a pipeline that would be a Unical pipeline was a consideration in some of the United States' dealings with the Taliban in the years leading up to 9/11. And I have a quote here from 2002 from the LA Times, where the LA Times is saying the sum here, it looks like the fix was in for Unocal because of the fact that you have Karzai being named and you have this other guy being named.
Now, what's interesting also in your book is in the history of Afghanistan, in the development of what became, you know, bin Laden's al-Qaeda. We've talked to Peter Bergen about this. I've read Peter Bergen's book about Holy War Incorporated, that they were funded, the Mujahideen, the original Afghani Arabs, which bin Laden was part of, and which, you know, drew Islamic warriors from around the planet, was engaged and created by the ICI, the Pakistan Intelligence, and by the American administration. I guess it was under George Sr., yeah?
Even Reagan, going way back.
Designed to fight the Russians without too much American involvement, right? They were put in place to fight the Russians, and apparently, I didn't know this, but we were talking about it, heroin or opium was not grown in Afghanistan previous to the suggestion by the CIA. Is that true?
Yeah, well, 79 is when the war starts there with the Russians and the Afghan rebels. And there's, you know, just virtually no opium grown, and you make heroin out of opium. Mm-hmm. And they kind of boast about it these days, some of the CIA people saying that this was a really clever thing that we did back in those days, was to really promote the growth, and the ISI, the Pakistani intelligence, gets really involved in the production of all this. And so it's a way to get funding for the rebels, because they're growing it, they're making all kinds of money now, and then also get the Russian soldiers all doped up on the heroin.
So, oh, God.
I mean, this was their logic. I mean, they actually boast about it later. So the production went from nothing to now it's like 70% of the world's opium and the world's heroin comes from Afghanistan.
And that's multi-billion.
Yeah, previous to that, it had been in the so-called Fertile Crescent, which was in the Middle East.
Isn't part of it in Asia?
Well, yeah, it kind of stretches across, I think it was like Turkey, mm-hmm. Iran, Iraq, to some small extent, right, into Pakistan.
But what's interesting is the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, was in cahoots with bin Laden, who were basically doing a sort of a protection racket with the growers and kicking back some of the money from the heroin into building al-Qaeda. And these are still apparently the same connections that we're relying on to track bin Laden for us. It all seems kind of suspect.
Yeah, if you look in the mid-90s, so bin Laden moves to Afghanistan, and he supposedly is taking like 10-15% of the profits of all the heroin leaving the country. So he's making a huge profit. And in fact, to this day, what happened was that the Taliban, they really cut down just before the 9/11, all that stuff in 2001, 2000, practically down to nothing.
And now
it's back up, zooming way back up.
We'll talk about more after this.
All right, coming up, the president's palm pilot. More with Paul Thompson, the liberal agenda, you on the telephones, and more here on Air America Radio.
From 1996 to the year 2000, wages for almost all workers rose steadily and faster than the inflation rate. That hadn't happened since the long period of broadly shared income growth from 1947 to 1974. But here's a reality check. Since the year 2000, average family incomes have stopped growing. Total compensation levels are just slightly higher than they were 15 years ago. Even though today's workers are more likely to have attained a better education than their parents, many are paid about the same income. For example, a substantial portion of men who have a few years of college education will earn less than their fathers did. The solution to restore badly shared income growth is to return to policies that worked in the past. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for enabling all workers to see their incomes grow faster than the cost of living. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Baghdad this morning is the scene of yet another car bombing. Half dozen police vehicles were approached by another vehicle when the driver blew himself up. Iraqi government officials say 20 people were wounded. John Kerry again turns up the heat on George W. Bush, accusing the president of not telling the truth about the war in Iraq. Kerry made his comments to an attentive audience at the National Guardsmen Convention in Las Vegas. White House is talking tough with veteran journalist Dan Rather, suggesting that he get his reporting facts straight before asking the president to answer questions about his time in the Air National Guard, rather than CBS stand by the content of their reports that concluded President Bush failed to fulfill his obligation to the Guard 30 years ago. Despite the swirling controversies around him, President Bush managed to grab a 13-point lead in the latest Gallup poll and voter popularity. Pundits now say the impending presidential debates now offer John Kerry his best shot at leveling the contest. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. You treasured collecting baseball cards, and today's kids have gathered those and more, from NFL and WNBA to Pokemon and Star Trek. But when I come back, we'll go automotive with a hobby. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark. We've got trading cards for cartoons and sports heroes, but fancy this. Now there's a card celebrating those who really put their lives on the line every day and showcasing their cars. P.S. Publishers has released two first edition box sets of police collector cards entitled Troopers Across America and City Police Across America. Each set features cruisers in full color photos as well as vital stats, uniforms, and histories of highway and big city law enforcement agencies from coast to coast. Now, you may not have the badge, but you can have your very own police cruiser in your pocket. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Past the hour.
There are no Mexicans. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels.
That's right, and we're going to...
It is the international system of currency which determines
yes.
the totality of life
okay.
on this planet.
Okay, I get it, I get it. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
We're good morning.
Here with Paul Thompson. Did I just say poor Paul Thompson? The author of The Terror Timeline. And Ramon just left. That was awkward, wasn't he? He just comes in and out with the presidential palm pilot. Don't be afraid. He works for us, Paul. Here's the president's schedule for today, 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Repeat secret mantra. It's okay to lose in Iraq as long as we win in November. 12:45 p.m. Victory 2004 rally at Grand Hyatt, Washington, D.C. Begin speech with, it's great to be here in Washington. I don't get here too often. 3:45 p.m. Take part in Focus on Women Issues event, Charlotte, North Carolina Merchandise Mart. Keep speech brief. Don't want to keep the ladies from their shopping. 5:50 p.m. Reception at private residence in Charlotte, North Carolina that has closed to the press. 5:55 p.m. The ceremony begins. Induct first female member of Skull and Bones. Condoleezza, get out the paddles. This is going to be sweet. 10:30 p.m. Arrive at Kenny Bunkport, Maine. Awkward meeting with Dad. Has he read the Kitty Kelly book? Hope I'm not in trouble. 12 o'clock midnight. Lights out. 2:30 a.m. Sneak out to Boathouse. Look for my old stash under the floorboards. Throw it out. Probably. 3:45 a.m. Back to bed. Hope I can sleep. Hope I don't die. That's too fast for it. All right. back to heroin. Let's get out of cocaine. Let's get back to heroin.
Yeah.
Heroin helps cocaine. Heroin helps
slow down cocaine.
Slow down. Let's talk about the money. $100 billion a year, did you just say, is what the annual income or gross net, whatever it is, of the opium business?
Yeah.
That'll buy you influence almost anywhere. That'll buy almost anything in the world. So I'm in my little head, I'm speculating that if there's still a connection between the ISI and the warlords who are growing opium, and now there's a connection between this administration sort of muscling the ISA to find, you know, bin Laden, it seems to me that if bin Laden is still affiliated with this industry that makes $100 billion a year, that he probably owns most of the ISI.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ISI's, well, it's who owns who is a question.
Right.
You know, who's in charge? But they're a completely self-funding agency because they get so much of their money from drugs, they don't need money to come from, you know, Musharraf, the official leader of Pakistan.
So they get all this drug money, and Musharraf is completely, you know, threatened and intimidated by the Muslim, you know, factions within his own country. That guy walks around, you know, looking behind him all the time anyways. And now his intelligence outfit, which isn't, you know, really he has no control over, and which is, as you say, owned by possibly drug money, and these are the guys that we're relying on to catch bin Laden. Is this why it's so backburned? Is they realize that it's never going to happen?
Yeah, now you know why all of these top al-Qaeda people are hanging out in Pakistan. It's the safest place for them to be. But I have a really good
except for Iraq. It's become very popular for those who want to be involved with the movement.
Right. I have a quote here I found during the break. It's from a guy in the Tajikistan Drug Control Agency. So it's a bordering Afghanistan. He's trying to fight all the drugs flowing into his country.
Uh-huh.
And he says, quote, "There's absolutely no threat to the labs inside Afghanistan. Some of them even work outside in the open air. Drug trafficking from Afghanistan is the main source of support for international terrorism now. That's quite clear." Now, that's just from this year.
Wow.
So we're seeing, you know, we're talking about the war on terrorism, trying to defeat terrorism, and yet here there's this tremendous funding source. Taliban's really come back. All this drug money. And you have literally U.S. soldiers, British soldiers, all these international soldiers in Afghanistan. They just drive right by these open fields, just, you know, bursting with poppies, bumper crop, record crop. And some of the other soldiers from, like, the French and the British complain, "We're told we're not allowed to go in and do anything to try to, you know, get rid of these fields."
Hmm.
Doesn't bin Laden have a kind of political / religious thing about making sure that a lot of these drugs wind up in the United States? Isn't that a way, from his vantage point, of dealing with the Americans?
Well, you can say that in their minds it's kind of an ends justifies the means thing, where they say, well, this is helping to corrupt the West, so it's okay for us to go and do it.
Because we want to make sure they maintain that image of being a corrupt Western, you know, they want the West to be corrupt at all costs because that's their big selling point.
Well, you know, the Medellin cartel said essentially the same thing,
uh-huh.
That they wanted to corrupt America. I mean, they're in the West, but they wanted to corrupt America. They wanted to corrupt the United States because they had a political problem. With you know, the kind of prolific spending, rich kids getting high kind of image that is projected around the world about the United States.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty amazing that, you know, also with what was the connection with the drug money was being funneled? What the whole Contra element?
Oh, the Iran Contra. Sure,
yeah.
They were selling cocaine in order to fund the Contra.
Yeah. So this.
And by the way, you know, and I know Paul, I think you point this out in your book. There are large numbers. This has been documented. There are large numbers of Pakistan's ISI who are open bin Laden supporters. Never mind, you know, doing stuff on the down low. These are folks who make no bones about the fact that they have no problem with Osama bin Laden.
And, and the CIA brought the idea to Afghanistan.
Yeah, I have some evidence in there that comes from even the Wall Street Journal suggesting the head of the ISI, a guy called General Mahmoud Ahmed, ordered $100,000 to go to Muhammad Atta, the head hijacker. Mm-hmm. So here we are, you know, seeing direct connection between a close ally. Pakistan's supposed to be one of our really close allies, and the head of their intelligence agency giving money to one of the hijackers.
Oh, my God, it's a mind-blowing book. Paul, stay with us. Let's take some calls, 866-303-2270. There's, you know, if you have even just reference questions, you know.
it's all here.
We've got Paul. We've got the book. We've got your calls after this, 866-303-2270. It's 40 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
He ruled TV for 4 years on SNL. Starred in unforgettable films like, his serious radio show rocks the nation. So what's the next incredible step for shooting star Jim Brewer? Opening for Incubus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Serious road trips along with Jim to bring you his show and all the stuff that happens before. Jim Brewer, unleashed, unwashed, and probably a little drunk. Friday night, 6 Eastern, Sirius Road Dog, 147.
Sirius, it's on.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kids? Principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad. It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening. Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice, industry-leading equity research, and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Go. 43 past the hour. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Morning.
Hey. Morning's Edition is the name of the show. You're listening to Air America Radio. Our guest is Paul Thompson, the writer and the compiler and obsessive chronicler of the terror timeline, year by year, day by day, minute by minute, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11 and America's response starting in 1979. Amazing book. Rick in Brooklyn. Got some info? What's up?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. You're talking to Mark and Mark. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, so I've been living in Williamsburg for a number of years, so I have some sense of, like, the heroin community in New York. about a year ago, or whenever we went to war with Afghanistan, I remember going out of the country for a minute and coming back, and a bunch of people had overdosed, and they told me that the product, you know how they nickname all these products?
Sure.
You could buy a type of heroin at the time called Twin Towers.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. The titles are always, you know, darkly ironic.
And never say Americans have no sense of humor, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right. And did you have some other thing?
I remember also, like, when I was I remember hearing a long time ago that Bin Laden had asked, like, his chemists, you know, to come up with some super strain of heroin that would just kill everybody.
Well, let's see if Paul has any information on that. Thanks for your call. The interesting thing about that, and you know as well as I do from living in New York for a while, if people start dying from heroin, you would think the first response would be like, man, you ought to stay away from that stuff. But no, that's the best advertising heroin can have. It's like, that dude did it wrong.
Death is a magnet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everybody tries to buy the heroin that people overdose off of because they consider it to be the strongest heroin you can get.
There was also a heroin called Bin Laden, too, I think.
Yeah, there was.
Do you know, it would seem to me that if Bin Laden is at the source, that the heroin pretty much in Afghanistan that they're making is going to be the strongest heroin because it's uncut. But did you hear any of this super heroin?
Nothing about, like, heroin that's going to kill you. I mean, it'd be kind of shooting yourself in the foot if it's such a huge revenue source for them.
Well, first of all heroin can kill you and death sometimes.
Yes.
But you didn't hear any sort of, like, mutant strain, like, we must create the master heroin.
No.
All right.
God, I'm just trying to remember how I knew that there was a heroin called Bin Laden.
We read about it. It was in a story.
Thank you, Mary.
It was only a couple of weeks ago. But the thing is that what heroin strength has to do with is cut, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, and back in the 70s, it was like 10%. And then somewhere in the 80s when the white heroin started coming in. And
China white.
During Bush's overseeing, during the CIA time, during the time where the heroin was being manufactured by the Afghanis, during the time you're talking about, it really took New York. Like, it took over. When it became so pure that it was snortable, they got a whole new market of people, and cocaine dealers started, you know, saying, hey, man, you want to come down later? I got a little something. And getting people hooked on this really strong heroin, which is ironically exactly at the time you're saying the CIA suggested that the Afghans start making this heroin.
See, I really think that the American government knew going into Afghanistan that they were going to unleash the heroin, the poppy growing again. I mean, anybody that has any knowledge of that region, anybody who certainly has intelligence in that region, had to know that the Taliban were the people that had stopped it. So if you get rid of the Taliban, logically, if you're dealing with a subsistence economy, they're going to start again. They're going to start growing. The question is, who's going to stop them? And as you point out, Paul, the Americans aren't doing it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the amount of money we're talking about here. I mean, Eric Schlosser's new book, I think it's called Reefer Madness. We should try and get him on sometime because my wife just read it, and it really deals with just how much money we're talking about that the black market economy, you know, is channeling through the world. I mean, it's just $100 billion a year just in heroin.
Yeah.
And opiates. That's mind-boggling, the power of that economy, and so rarely do we talk about it. Let's see if we got another call here. Did you have something? All right. I'm sitting here like, we have a guest. Why don't you let him talk? Patrick in New Jersey. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick.
Oh, Patrick.
Apparently people are calling. They're like, just two more minutes. There you are. What's up?
Wait a minute.
We got Riley on a fact.
Hey.
What?
What's up?
Golden Triangle.
Okay.
Not Fertile Crescent. Golden Triangle is Burma, Laos, Thailand. That was the big, you know, watershed area for heroin production. Fertile Crescent was Mesopotamia back in, you know, pre.
I know, but I think even before the Golden Triangle, there was heroin coming out of the Fertile Crescent. It was being grown in the Fertile Crescent. In the 60s.
Well, you're older than me, probably.
Thank you.
Anyway, what about the whole strategic thing from the administration end of things about keeping a inner city population strung out, docile, more concerned about their next fix than, voting? Or getting involved in, you know,
community activism,
in a positive way.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that was, thanks for your call. That was a big thing with the black community in the 60s and 70s, that the amount of heroin that was coming in at the time was really pacifying and creating a lot of problems and was done on purpose.
Well, you have to, if you look at this in terms of history, you have to realize that the drop in crime in major American cities in the 1990s coincided with the recession of the crack trade and really an inability of dealers to find any one drug to take its place. There's been no real epidemic of drug use in most communities, black communities, white communities, whatever,
right,
since crack.
Right.
And you'll notice that the crime rate began to decline in this country dramatically as crack started to recede, as people started getting wise, saying, hey, I'm not going to end up like, the guy on my block that's all strung out and weighs 98 pounds.
Right.
And the danger with the regrowing of poppy
is the possibility that you can create yet another heroin epidemic a generation and a half after the last one.
Yeah, but you know it's all part of the conspiracy, Paul and Mark, is what's going on here is they're not going to allow any drugs in now because the Bush administration is pushing pure fear. And if there's a lot of drugs on the street, the fear will go away. And they want the people to stay afraid, man. And this would be the time if we were a standard morning radio show, we'd just pop in Huey Lewis's, you know, we need a new drug song and go out on that, but we're not. So we'll be back with one more call after this on Air America Radio.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free, informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an e-book available for download via the Internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695-9599. 9599.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. He already loves Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Printer's out of paper.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, completely out.
How hard is it to refill a printer?
All you gotta do is open the tray and put the paper in.
Seriously?
And look, the paper's right here on the shelf.
Unbelievable.
It's right here. People, come on.
Excuse me, I just need to
Don't bother. It's out of paper.
Well, that's okay. I'll just refill it.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on four continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
They hide the truth about Iraq. They hide the truth about No Child Left Behind. They hide the truth about what's happening in Medicare. And it's time we had a president who tells the American people the truth.
We're going to talk about John Kerry and responding to Bush, Bush's Iraq policy in the next hour. Right now we have Paul Thompson, who is still here with us, staying up all night. Year by year, day by day, minute by minute, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11, America's response to terror timeline. An awesome book, a must-have for anybody who wants to be informed properly about where and how this entire scenario came about. Aaron in Staten Island, how are you? You got a question for Paul?
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Good. Paul, my question is really about the motive of the sources of terrorism. I read a lot of Thomas Friedman, and I said tend to lean towards the motive that attacking the U.S. is the only option, because
we have supported these oppressive regimes for so long in the Middle East. And I do have a follow-up question. I was just going to ask your opinion about the source of this hatred.
Well, I think the terrorists have some legitimate grievances, and this is why we can see they have a very growing following in the Middle East. I think a lot of the things that they're doing are quite insane. I mean, they're essentially wanting Islamic dominance of the whole world. But there are certain things that resonate with people because they're talking about American foreign policy and how there have been U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia too near to the Muslim holy sites and the war in Iraq, policy with Israel, generally supporting repressive regimes throughout the Middle East and people feeling like, you know, that they're kind of keeping the populace down. And so they're, you know, they have a resonance and they're growing in popularity because a lot of that is actually true. I mean, there is a lot of propping up of bad dictators and so forth because they're our allies. So I think you can see that every year, especially now with the war in Iraq, that in terms of the battle for hearts and minds, they're just getting more and more popular. The Osama bin Laden's getting more popular.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I mean, listen to me. What kind of thing is that to say? Wow, really? That's amazing. It's disturbing. And there you go. There's the sort of the background on that. Paul, I want to...
We need the website.
Sure, cooperativeresearch.com, yes?
.org.
Cooperativeresearch.org is how this whole thing began, this obsessive lifelong project of Paul Thompson.
Taking them around the world.
The Terror Timeline is the name of the book. It's available at morningsedition.com at a discount. Again, thanks for coming. You know, take a nap. I really appreciate you being here. I love the book. Riley, yeah. And before we take the next thing, the Fertile Crescent.
Yeah, somebody did say that I was talking about the Golden Triangle. Now, he was right that the Golden Triangle was a large growing place. But according to one website, Washington Profile, the Fertile Crescent was responsible for half the heroin that came to America.
That'll teach you to throw that at Riley. Say you got to fact check Riley. Riley's brain's a miracle. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. One, call Dan Rather to offer support. Assure him that nothing ventured, nothing gained. Two, convince Kerry to appear in New York new Nelly video to capture hip-hop voting block. Three, during New York Fashion Week, remind supermodels that if they want to become actresses, start acting fashionably liberal. Four, in the spirit of equality, convince Blue Man Group to start Blue Woman Group spinoff. Aw, there you go. Five, insert this phrase into every liberal conversation. Quote, if Bush gets reelected, it's either leave the country or be put in a camp. Man, end quote. Thank you again, Paul Thompson.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, Democratic strategist Jen Bluestein, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the Morning's Edition Business Report, and the Dog of the Week, all on Air America Radio.
You love the game, you love your team, and you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Dinner time in America. For far too many families, that means it's time for ketchup soup. When you've got nothing else to feed hungry mouths, you take boiling water, add half a cup of ketchup, and presto, ketchup soup. Because when kids are hungry enough, they'll eat anything. One in five American children is living with hunger. Sometimes ketchup soup is the best their parents can do. To fight child hunger, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS. The sooner you believe it, the sooner we can end it. Brought to you by the Ad Council, America's Second Harvest, and Feeding Children Better.
Ben.
I am the innocent photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now,
Sirius, Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration officials are saying a new report on Iraq's illicit weapons program will conclude that Saddam Hussein's government had a clear intent to produce nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons if the United Nations sanctions were lifted. But like previous reports, there was no indication of a smoking gun that the Iraqi government had embarked on such an endeavor before the American invasion last year, so confirmed the same government officials. The officials say the most telling evidence of a plan for such a program was uncovered in clandestine labs operated by the Iraqi intelligence service. There's a warning this morning from the chief of the Army Reserve. It seems the current pace of operations in Iraq and Afghanistan is taking a toll on crucial specialists. Because of that, many may be called up involuntarily for active duty. In a related development, the Army Reserve is sending a unit to Iraq that has never been deployed overseas before. 800 or so troops of the 98th Division out of Rochester, New York, normally train reserve and active duty soldiers in the U.S. Next month, they'll begin a year-long mission training Iraq's army. The head of the Army Reserve says the call-up of a non-combat unit that doesn't even have its own weapons or vehicles illustrates how all part-time soldiers must get used to the idea that they can be called to active duty. In the words of Lieutenant General James Helmley, "This is a hard war, and we, frankly, inside the Army Reserve, have not been properly prepared for it." Currently, the Army Reserve has about 38,000 troops on active duty. While the president has yet to offer any public response to the recent surge of insurgency in Iraq, reports this morning say that September is proving to be one of the most deadliest months for American troops. Some 52 American soldiers have been killed. Deadliest month for the American soldiers has long been April of this year. The political pundits agree that this very issue the president has been campaigning on with respect to Iraq could cost him the election if the trends continue. A recent CNN unofficial poll showed that 86% of their respondents disliked the way President Bush is handling the war in Iraq. Leadership of the United Nations made the most profound statement regarding its view on the war in Iraq 3 days ago in a BBC interview, and the words of the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan have now reportedly sparked a firestorm of controversy, this according to the New York Times. There was no question about his opposition to the war since the president's first inference close to 2 years ago, but his words this week that the war in Iraq was illegal apparently is speaking volumes in many corners of the world. On the latest assessment in Iraq by the National Intelligence Council, John Kerry ripped into President Bush again yesterday on his handling of the war. Kerry, addressing a convention of the National Guard in Las Vegas, charged the president with living in a fantasy world of spin. Canada says the president fails to tell the truth about growing chaos and violence in Iraq. Kerry says Bush has an obligation to tell Americans and those in the military the deadly deteriorating circumstances in the war-torn nation where more than 1,000 Americans have been killed. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning.
Oh, well,
Sean Hannity. This is Addicts Anonymous. How can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk. And then,
sir,
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News. And then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carfinic Minute. The heat's got you saying, oh, grr. So you press the blue button on your dash for some fresh air. Phew, smells worse than a talking donkey. When I come back, I'll air out this moldy tale. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. If your AC hasn't been on for a while, chances are your vents are as green as Shrek's skin and are probably growing things that look like him, too. Pollen, dust, mold, and smog easily enter passenger cabins through the HVAC system. This causes musty odors that would make even Fiona sneeze and produces air inside your vehicle that can be 6 times dirtier than air outside. Protect yourself from Farquaad's evil pollutant spores by replacing your vehicle's cabin air filter. A fresh filter cleans the incoming air and removes allergens. Now that's a breath of fresh air. And yes, donkey, a happy ending. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
A pop quiz for parents.
with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kids. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
George W. Bush. And what do you think that W stands for? That W stands for wrong. Wrong direction.
Yeah.
Wrong choices.
Yes.
Wrong priorities.
Yes.
Wrong judgment.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. Good morning, geniuses. How's everybody doing? It's Friday. Yes, thank God. That's right, not wrong. Friday.
Yes.
Good. Mark Riley, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man.
Democratic strategist.
Oh.
Jeb Bluestein.
Now you've gone too far.
I'll never work again.
No, of course. It was a slip of the tongue. I would never assume that about you. She is here to talk with us about things. Things are happening in the studio. Paul Thompson was just here. What's going on there? Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman seems to be yelling in the booth. It's like watching a silent movie from here. Brendan, P.W. McDonald looking at him like, why? Is Pashman so intense? Why doesn't he just relax for a few minutes? And, of course, Marty Pencil Larson, suspiciously absent.
Yeah, he's not back there.
I don't know what's going on. Before we get into the big deal stuff, let me just read this email from a viewer.
A viewer?
A listener. Oh. You two rock. You inform but also make me laugh until my side hurts every single morning. Last week I was listening while still in bed. That was okay until I rolled over, forgetting I was at the edge of the bed, whereupon I fell off the bed onto my dog, Tina Turner. Not a good thing. She's a Rottweiler and bit me. Not hard, mind you, but it scared the crap out of me. Poor baby. Her eyes told me she was sorry. Since then, she's distanced herself from my bed in the morning. Oh, that's very touching. Well, I'm glad that we made you fall out of your bed onto your dog. Now, this is another one. We did a long conversation about chicken yesterday, Jen.
Yeah, and cabbage, too.
We made a joke at the expense of vegans. And we started a sort of a one-woman army. And one email was like, you know, what's you guys, the chickens need our help at KFC. You know, it was a big problem.
I'm not sure this is the best use of your time.
No,
alienating the vegans.
Yeah.
No. But that we like to, you know, we're a liberal, progressive radio network. We want all sides to be represented. We have tolerance. We are engaging all people. And this is from a guy named Joe. He says, I wonder if any of these chicken lovers ever lived on a farm. Am I going to read this?
Yes, read it.
If you ever spent any time around chickens, you would know that these little feathered bastards deserve everything that the good colonel can do to them. Any shortening of their pitiful, useless lives is nothing short of an act of mercy.
Wow.
More email. So let's, okay, if you don't think that's a good use of our time, a lot of people criticize us sometimes for having a little fun on
being frivolous.
Show. Like, you know, it's like, can't you continue, please, preaching to the choir so we can all feel better? That's what we need to do. But as my friend, you know, Jim Loftus, have you met him? Jim Loftus, he's on the plane with Kerry, and he said it's time to buck up. There's no time for any Democrats to sit there and go, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's time to get on board, stop whining, let's start winning. This is our guy, let's do it.
I think that's absolutely true. It's a little bit... It's past time to stop worrying about, you know, who's sitting where in the office.
Absolutely.
And who's outweighing who, and start just being very purposeful about articulating what the real issue at hand is, which is it's just time for a change.
It's time to win.
Well,
and he's got all these Clinton guys now, right?
Yeah. He's got a lot of Clinton guys. But, you know, there's something that's troubling me. when back, you remember when Michael Moore's movie first came out,
mm-hmm.
it seemed as though the people who went to see that movie were extremely galvanized mm-hmm. about George W. Bush. It was like, whoa, who is this guy and how did he get where he is and why? What do we have to do to get rid of him?
Right.
It seems as though in the couple of months since that movie came out, that feeling, at least as far as its public projection, has waned a little bit. It doesn't seem like the people who were galvanized, who said they were galvanized by Fahrenheit 9/11, have remained galvanized. Is that just because maybe the media doesn't talk to them anymore, Jen?
Yeah, I think so. I think you also have things like both conventions happening, other things sort of taking up the space in the news that movie was for a while. But I also think that some of those people may have gotten sort of bogged down in all these ceaseless sort of process stories and carping and internecine fighting among Democrats. And that this is what you see the campaign starting to do right now, is go back to those people and say, you learned a lot about him that you didn't like in that movie. We're telling you more. And now go out there and preach to other people.
See, I would think what I've been talking about recently is that I would think that people who are really undecided, who may be leaning towards Bush at some point, would have to just say, look, you know, this guy's got too much crap swarming around him. There's too many questions. It seems like there are some very definite lies. Even people who there are on really on the fence would turn on him eventually.
I think that's true. And I think, you know, historically in elections like this, the undecideds do break to the challenger because mm-hmm. obviously as more time passes, if they weren't already with this guy, there's not a whole lot happening right now that would make them want to be with him.
Right, and I think Kerry's smart to do that, to just hit the real issues.
Absolutely.
Enough with this.
At a certain point, are you comfortable with this guy?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a person in America who can truly say that they feel very comfortable with his leadership right now.
But with George Bush's?
Yeah.
There are some that are blinded by, you know, religious delusions and hate that
well,
that
there may be some people who truly believe in the ideology of the Republican Party and as such are deciding that they have to throw their support to George Bush. But I think that the Kerry campaign has done an excellent job of showing across the board on health care, on social issues, on the war in Iraq, that this guy has made too many missteps.
Yeah, and thank God some of the senators even, you know, are starting to turn on them. Republicans are starting to turn on them. True believers in the Republican ideology of fiscal conservatives are starting to sort of say,
A couple of moderates, too. I mean, Chuck Hagel and Dick Lugar are not doctrinaire conservatives. But Jen, what about going after George W. Bush's character? What are the benefits and what are the risks?
Well, I think it's, they're not, this is not a character assassination that the Kerry campaign is doing. This is a very consistent message, which is he doesn't tell the truth. And they're saying this on policy issues. He has not told you the truth about Iraq, as well as on some things that are more personal, such as his service in the Guard. So there's a very consistent theme, which is this is not a president who seems to be able to consistently tell you the truth. This is not sort of character assassination. And I think it's very effective because it tells the American people something that seems to be kind of at the core of this president's being, which is he's not real wedded to the truth.
And he's also refuses to take responsibility for anything.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
We're going to play that, the senators, we're going to play the Hagel bite. We're going to play those Republican senators responding to Bush, and we're going to continue talking to Jen Bluestein after this here on Air America Radio.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
He ruled TV for 4 years on SNL. Starred in unforgettable films like, his serious radio show rocks the nation. So what's the next incredible step for shooting star Jim Brewer? Opening for Incubus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Serious road trips along with Jim to bring you his show and all the stuff that happens before. Jim Brewer, unleashed, unwashed, and probably a little drunk. Friday night, 6 Eastern, Serious Rod Dog, 147.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name 3 kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name 3 kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
I guess I didn't know.
They hide the truth about Iraq. They hide the truth about No Child Left Behind. They hide the truth about what's happening in Medicare. And it's time we had a president who tells the American people the truth. It's that simple.
17 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America. We're sitting with Jen Bluestein, a Democratic strategist.
Thank you for that.
Who's now going to have to sit through my dream diary from last night.
Oh.
I'm in a classroom with my dead cat, Butch. The room is filled with fidgety six-year-olds. The 4 strays I took in are also there wearing their matching Che t-shirts, clawing obscenities into the desktops. Bush walks to the chalkboard. She says, "Hello, my good little consumers. I am Professor Butch. I will be teaching you this semester. I will attempt to undo the systematic poisoning of your mind that occurred during the summer." She lights a cigarette. "Now first, everything you have been taught or will be taught is a lie. The truth exists only inside these 4 walls. Public education is a cruel travesty designed to suppress actual thought. Your real education will happen after this long, sad time has passed. If you haven't been so brainwashed that you're incapable of thinking..." Wow. Butch is deep, man. "Here's what school will teach you: that violence and aggression are more important than curiosity or creativity. To be liked is to be mediocre. To fit into society, you must squeeze your abilities into a tiny little box that can be sold in the marketplace. Your sacrifice will never be acknowledged, however, and any suggestion that this is unfair will be called treason." Oh my God, this is eternal. "Your unquestioning obedience will come in very handy when you are installed in soul-killing service jobs and sent off to war to protect the financial interests of billionaires who have nothing but contempt for you. Your ignorance and passivity will allow the worst sorts of leaders to flatter and bully you while they think of new ways to steal every penny of your laughably small earnings. The American education system will make you fat, uncreative, uncurious, fearful, exhausted, and lonely, and you will be made to think it is your fault. I would say you are sheep, but on the whole, a sheep's life is more satisfying than yours will be. At least their slaughter will feed someone. Enjoy your 70 years on Earth, but based on the increasing deterioration of the air and water, probably less, much less." And one of the kids starts crying. I say, "Come on, Butch. Look at what you did." Butch shrugs. "That is life. I've done them a favor, but still, I will do something nice for them." Then she passed out cigarettes and lighters to all of them. She says, "Here, my little comrades, this is one of life's only pleasures. Enjoy it as often as you can, because there is no God keeping score." The kid starts smoking and coughing. Butch lights a fresh one and says, "After you finish your cigarette, you can have a juice in a box, then perhaps a nap." I woke up and my bed was filled with burnt orange crayons. Oh, my God. My dead cat. I have cat problems. But this, see, that was see what we did, Jen, is we did a little comedy piece and we did a subconscious thing and we put a little political message in there. See what we do here?
I think it's fantastic. Fantastic.
But it's not the best use of your time.
You know what that means? That means more recurring guest spots. Jen. So what were you guys talking about? You guys were going at it.
Oh, no, no. We were just talking about some general inside local stuff. But, you know, the thing I think a lot of people are looking at as they're getting up today is this whole slamming of George W. Bush. It actually happened on Wednesday. Two top Republicans on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska and Richard Lugar of Indiana, started taking the Bush administration to task around Iraq reconstruction money, something that we've talked about, Mark, on many occasions before. And the numbers are absolutely scary in terms of how much Congress allocated and how much has actually been spent. Let's listen to Chuck Hagel, senator from the state of Nebraska.
You are talking about reprogramming $3.4 billion, taking $3.4 billion, most of it for water and sewer and electricity, out of those accounts and moving them mainly to accounts to enhance security. Now, that does not add up, in my opinion, to a pretty picture, to a picture that shows that we're winning. But it does add up to this, an acknowledgement that we are in deep trouble.
Now, Now this is interesting. He was saying this to two witnesses before the committee. One is Ronald Schleister. He's the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Iraq Bureau, and Joseph Boab, who's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Foreign Assistance Programs and Budget. And what's interesting is Boab, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Foreign Assistance, says that none, not one, of the 32,000 Iraqi police that have been put on the beat since the overthrow of Saddam Hussein has gone through a full training program.
Right.
None. Partial training, I guess, you know, a couple of hours or whatever, which is sort of like, you know, teaching people to be subway train operators and giving about a half hour's worth of training. Yeah. It's like, go ahead, run the A train.
It's worse because you're giving them guns.
Yeah.
You know what's great, though, is that because these guys are Republicans, it's sort of like taking that whole pessimism thing out of the partisan world. Like, you know, now clearly they are starting to be pessimistic and they are starting to be critical of their president.
Absolutely. And I think it also takes away this whole, you know, the Republicans and particularly the White House are such crybabies. The minute anybody criticizes them, they accuse them of either, you know, of being unpatriotic.
It's amazing how quickly.
Or of threatening our security. And I think that nobody is going to accuse Chuck Hagel of being unpatriotic or threatening our security. He's being a reasonable person with some conscience.
A responsible politician.
Yeah.
It's incredible how quickly bullies turn into babies when they're cornered. It's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And they say that liberals whine. I've never seen a whinier bunch of defensive turds in my life. Did I say turds again? I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. With a guest.
I apologize. So it's looking. Yeah, can we hear some of that Kerry stuff? Did you?
Yeah.
Sure, you guys heard this. Can we hear the first one, Chris?
Number one.
Or no, we hear number two.
Okay. And we've lost 1,000 people, and there are more territory in the hold of terrorists, more territory in the hold of insurgents and jihadists, and there are more terrorists in Iraq than there ever were before.
Now, Jen, I want you to know, Kerry ramped it up. Because he found out he was going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Mark Maron's town. And so he had to kind of step up a little bit.
Absolutely.
I wonder if my dad went there. We've been saying that for months.
I love in that clip, though, because he pronounces terrorists with all of its syllables.
Yeah.
As opposed to the way the president pronounces
terrorists. United States.
But this is great that he's fine. You know, he's really starting to, you know, to fight him on how the Iraqi war has been handled.
I think it's fantastic, and I think that, you know, what you saw today with the RNC has gone berserk over a new ad that accuses the president of having created a quagmire in Iraq. At every point that you try to call them on this, they freak out and they say that you're being, you know, lack of respect for the troops or unpatriotic. And I think it's fantastic that John Kerry has found a way of just describing the situation using terms that are absolutely based in fact. There are more terrorists in Iraq than there were before. There is not enough basic infrastructure there. These are things that cannot be criticized.
Mm-hmm.
These are just facts.
Oh, yeah. They are absolutely just facts. And even people like we talked to Peter Bergen, we talked to Mick Ware. These are journalists that are there. You know, and Peter Bergen, who's willing to say that there's been some success in reconstruction of Afghanistan, all of them say that Iraq is a disaster. It's just a disaster on all levels. And the truth has to be told.
A half-a-trillion-dollar disaster.
And, yeah. You know, and 1,000-plus American lives disaster.
Now, Jen, is this kind of ramping up of Kerry's rhetoric – Is this part of the change that's going on within the campaign? We were talking before you came on about the fact that for a lot of people, the machinations and the processes of the campaign ends up being kind of like inside baseball. It kind of, you know, media people are interested in it, lobbyists are interested in it, strategists are obviously interested in it. Do you think the American public is interested in it?
Well, I think they may have become interested in it because it's frankly being shoved down their throat so much. And I think that some people may be interested in it because they really want Kerry to win. And so they are engaged in the process of the campaign. But I don't think they really are. I think most people, especially the elusive swing voters and the undecideds, they're not going to vote for John Kerry because they're glad that Joe Lockhart is there. They're going to vote for John Kerry because a message reached them that was effective and persuasive. So I think that it really is. I'm very glad those people are there. I think they're doing a terrific job, but I think it's kind of time to move on from the constant assessment of that.
I think you're right, and I think also that it's great that Kerry made the choice to sort of like just stay on issues and not get too petty. You know, like these guys are extremely petty. Like you were talking about supporting the troops. I think it's amazing that yesterday a woman disrupted Laura Bush during a speech. And she was, I guess, at a certain point in the speech, she had a T-shirt on that said, "President Bush, you killed my son," and it had a picture of a soldier in Iraq. Now, Laura Bush, if she had any improvisational skills or any heart at all, could have said something to disarm that situation.
Well,
you know?
Right. Except that this is an administration and a campaign that is utterly devoid of improvisational skills.
But also just the fact that if she would have said, you know, "I am sad about the loss of American lives. You know, we are sad," even that, but instead they took this woman out, they escorted her out violently almost, and the crowd just started going, "Four more years, yeah. Four
no,
more years."
I think
years.
they have a lot invested, the Bush campaign, in a sort of us or them mentality where once you cross the line, you become them. And I think you start to see all this very effective stuff, all these groups where returned Iraq veterans and their families are speaking out in a very sophisticated and very organized way with the 9/11 widows, the people who finally forced the president to have the 9/11 commission endorsing Kerry at a major press event. I think there are a lot of very effective ways that these folks are making the case against Bush and for Kerry.
Absolutely.
And the Bush administration is just paralyzed.
Well, they have an innate, you know, they have an inability to be empathetic about anything because they really don't care. I mean, you know, Dick Cheney and these people are bottom line people. They don't see human lives as human lives. They just see numbers on a screen, and all they can think about is the ends.
Yeah. Now, we got a very little time left. What Mark Maron gets upset about polls. I get upset about polls sometimes. Should we get upset about polls, Jen? Yes or no?
Well, I think sometimes you should, but I think it's really important to look at. I mean, polls are a pretty broad topic, and some polls are skew Republican, and some polls skew Democrats, and some polls are responsible, and other polls are push polls. I think you want to know what you're looking at when you're looking at it, and not overreact.
Take heed, Mark Maron.
It just freaks me out because I
can't. Mark, the last, you know, the Harris poll and the Pew poll show that the country is pretty, you know,
no, we're
close
good now.
And the
we're
country
good
is divided.
Yeah,
so
I know.
You already knew that.
Right,
you don't need to be
week.
Frightened of polls.
But
now
Gallup is off the charts, though.
Last
isn't
week,
it?
I was a little freaked out. After the Republican National Convention, after we were there all week, I was like, it works my nerves. You know what I mean? This is why I don't like sports. I just can't stand it when it's like, oh my God.
You like calm. You like calm.
No, not calm. I just like chaos. Like, what do we got, man?
We got you on the telephones. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it.
Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-581-4641. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-581-4641. 1-800-581-4641.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gillen. Political pundits are saying that President Bush may have a hard time trying to get history to repeat itself insofar as military support in the upcoming election. It seems the same support that purportedly put him over the top in Florida in 2000 may not be there 4 years later because of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Pundits believe Bush's failure to ease the burden of the overworked military would cost him military support at the polls and could cost him the election. Three new polls are out on the presidential contest. Two of them show the race after the Republican and Democratic conventions at a dead even pace, but a Gallup poll this morning points to a 13-point lead Bush enjoys over his Democratic rival. And John Kerry may be changing the tide of the contest and voter popularity as he sharpens his attacks on the president on his handling of Iraq. Yesterday, Kerry told the same National Guardsmen convention Bush addressed earlier that they deserve a president who will tell the truth about the war. Wayne Gillen, Air America Radio News.
Hey, Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper. For
no, wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh. 132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Sirius.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. We all know SPF's a must for sun worshippers everywhere, but there's someone else in your life who needs a new pair of shades. When I come back, I'll shed some light on the matter.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
We avoid the sun's damaging rays by using sunblock to protect our skin. But how's your family car taking in the heat? Oven-like temperatures can crack vehicles' vinyl and leather, fade cloth, bake foam padding, and crack or discolor paint. But don't smear on SPF 45. Try these tips. Park in the shade and use sunshades or reflectors in windshields and rear windows. Also, try vent visors that allow you to crack windows, rain or shine, which reduces cabin temperature. My favorite beat-the-heat solution? A car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Cool. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Back, it's Mark Maron with Mark Riley, Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Jen Bluestein, the Democratic strategist, is with us. We've got your phone calls that I'm going to take in a minute. I just want to tell you right now, I'm done with chickens, all right? I'd like to take your call, but I can't do it right now. If you don't want to eat chickens, don't eat chickens. If you do, you can eat chickens. You realize that chickens, go through an awful lot of pain when they're mass-produced by agribusiness, and they don't taste as good. Unless they're grown on a farm by person. And I'm going to let it go, Ellen.
I got two words for Ellen before you let
I'm
it go.
I'm done with it. What?
Mr. Charlie's. That's all I got to say.
There's certain types of fried chicken that are very good. I'm done with it, and I have not been converted into a vegan. But right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 80. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. I don't know how much attention you pay to the United Nations since they fled Iraq because of... Yeah, that. Well, yeah, right. So recently, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan came out and said the invasion of Iraq was illegal. That makes it your fault. You're the ones who made it necessary to invade you. Well, with the WMDs and the Al-Qaeda ties and all. By the way, if those weapons turn up, call us immediately. But now we're stuck with a war that the UN says is illegal. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move the UN to Iraq. All right, calm down. Take it easy. Here's how it makes sense. Our president is something of a religious fanatic. Yeah, you can relate. I hear you. But his religion includes something called the Book of Revelations, a 2,000-year-old book of prophecies, dreams, and incantations that functions as the blueprint for our administration. Among the more interesting of these revelations is that the one-world government that presages the end of times must be based in Babylon. Lucky you. According to the revelations, the end of the world will be accompanied by war, famine, death, and pestilence. Chaos will reign as the planet lurches toward a fiery apocalypse. Since that more or less describes Iraq since we invaded, we thought we'd make you central players in our little end of the world scenario. Most of you people want to die for a religious cause anyway. The only difference is it's our religion. Hey, 666 of one, half dozen of the other. Until next time, good luck and God bless. This is day 80 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die.
Now, I have to correct myself. I made an inside reference when I said Mr. Charlie's. People outside New York don't. Probably people outside of Harlem don't know what.
Riley took us to Mr. Charlie's, and it was this awesome little joint.
Yeah. With the greatest fried chicken in the universe.
We got.
Jerry, I'm good in here.
No, we just did this joke, and I upset this woman, and I understand where she's coming from, and you know, it's just I just don't want her to sit out there seething all morning. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. You know, it's like you got to look at it this way. What would the world be like if chickens ran it? Which they kind of do in some respects. Yeah. Good segue, kind of.
Yeah, right?
They are sort of. These guys are in a way cowardly. They're hyper secretive. They are defending nothing. They have nothing to run on, and that's becoming very apparent, isn't it?
And that's like a chicken?
No. Not like a chicken. I thought I could say what it was. It just didn't happen. It
didn't work. Let me ask Jen a question.
Yeah.
Should John Kerry and John Edwards campaign together more?
Well, I think that John Edwards should campaign a little bit more vigorously and a little bit more publicly, and I think you've started to see him with this. He made a joke today that was very pointed and pretty aggressive about the president's speech yesterday. I don't think necessarily they should campaign together because, frankly, they can reach more people when they're separated. But I do think that we want to see a more aggressive and public John Edwards.
Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks. See that? Chicken
hawks. You have got to move on.
You see what I'm saying?
No, but we could be talking about any number of interesting, important things, and you would be sitting over there thinking about chicken metaphors.
Chicken hawks. I didn't make that one up. That's what these guys are. Draft deferrers, draft dodgers, AWOL blow monkeys. Chicken hawks are forcing people to go in and fight a war that they would not fight. There you go. Oh, no. There you go. She's on the phone again. No.
Let's go to the phone, Mark.
Okay. All right. What do we got? Let's go first to April in Maine. April?
Hi, April.
Hi.
How are you? What's up?
Fine. Great. I was just wanted to say, love the show. It's great. It's awesome. But one of my questions was, how is this legal? How is it legal for Bush and company to keep people, American taxpaying people, out of their speaking?
The loyalty oath thing.
Yeah, the loyalty thing. How's it legal?
They're
on my tax dollars now.
That's a good question. I think Jen looks like she can address that.
April, I don't know the answer to your question, but I do think that what they would probably say is that those are campaign events and not, not presidential office events. So
and they also happen on private property.
They happen on private property. They're, paid for by money that they raise, not by money that they take from taxes.
Yeah, but, so they want the right to have special invited guests.
But, April, I think the real your question is mostly how can they be such unbelievable cowards and expect
chickens?
Chickens.
Okay.
And I think that is a good question. Why can't they take actual questions from actual Americans who just want to ask them rather than from selected people who want to tell them how much they love them?
Because they're chicken. All right, here we go. Forrest in Connecticut. How are you, Forrest?
Hey, Forrest.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
One thing I must say that it's great to be on the phone just to be on the right side of the 7-second delay for a few minutes.
Okay.
My comment is this, and I even faxed this to the Kerry campaign this morning. I think it's a really urgent thing tactically for the Kerry campaign to revive this weekly debate challenge.
Yes.
And to do it in the most macho terms, like, what is Bush hiding from me for?
Right.
You know, if he really wants, America wants a president who's willing to stand up and fight, not somebody who's going to stand behind handlers and sound bites.
I think that's a great idea. If Kerry just got on and said, why doesn't this little man come out of his Oval Office and confront me on a week-to-week basis about what's important to the people of America?
You know who did that successfully?
Long time ago.
Who? Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
When he was chasing, he would go to every place that Sonny Liston was. And would come in, why won't the bear come out and fight me? Why won't the bear fight me, you big, ugly bear? And eventually, Liston fought him, and the rest is history.
Yeah, so Liston, like, eventually was like, this guy's annoying.
I'm going to have to knock him out.
Yep. So what about the debates? They're going to happen. How many are going to happen? Do you know anything about that?
Well, it's a lot of it is up in the air. Both campaigns have very good teams put together negotiating it. And obviously, the Bush campaign wants something very different than the Kerry campaign. They want fewer. They want a format that would favor the president where they're seated. And
they want Kerry to sign a loyalty oath.
Exactly. They want the president to be able to read from his notes during it. It's not so much a debate, really, as it is a speech with Kerry there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Bob in Sacramento, listening to XM. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, Bob.
Bob.
Hey, guys, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
You know, I've called several times before. I'm a former JAG officer. Mm-hmm. And there is still one issue that needs to be addressed, and again, as the other previous caller had suggested, on a very positive, macho way. The President of the United States owes the American public active duty time.
Active duty time. So you're saying that he should go to Iraq in uniform?
Yes, I think that would be an excellent place for him to be right now.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Bob.
Now, you know, he makes an interesting point because he missed that time when he was in the National Guard.
Uh-huh.
The punishment for missing that time, for being absent, for not doing your job, was to be ordered to active duty.
Exactly.
He was never ordered to active duty. Therefore, he still owes.
He's going to put that bomber suit back on. It's
for real.
Yeah. We'll be back with Jim Bluestein and your calls after this on Air America Radio.
Anonymous, how can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk. And then,
sir,
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News. And then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug Free.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the War on Terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush. Who knows what this is really about?
We've actually misnamed the War on Terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called War on Terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
We like that.
Yes.
It's good fun. Paul, our trucker on the road doing his own polling. How are you,
right.
Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right. What do you got for us today?
Hey, you know, I've been taking my poll out here.
Yeah.
I told you last time I ran into a lot of Republicans that are going Democrat, but no Democrats going Republican.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, excellent.
But what I've also found is that women are tending to sit on the fence.
Uh-huh.
They're not sure who they're going to vote for yet.
And this is from the official Paul the Trucker poll.
That's right, and otherwise, like I said before, everything's kind of split down the middle, and I run into people that never voted before that are voting Democrat.
Good, good.
Nobody's voting that I've run into that never voted before that are voting Republican.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Where are you right now, Paul?
I'm sitting in Kentucky, and I'm getting ready to run down the road. I'll be running my poll in Wyoming and probably Nebraska and Oregon, because I'm headed up to Oregon.
Why don't you check back with us next week sometime, a couple times. Call us back and let us know if you got any new polling stuff.
All right.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Paul. You know, it's interesting he says this because there was an article, I think, in one of the papers that says that Kerry's support among women has eroded a little bit.
Well, I think that maybe that's attributable partly to this unbelievable fixation on their their service, whether, you know, the Swift boat nonsense with Kerry and then the constant discussion of Bush's record. I think that, you know, you see that Kerry campaign moving back to talking about issues, and these issues are issues that are going to absolutely push women towards John Kerry. In the last week alone, George Bush has made it more likely that we'll have assault rifles on our streets.
Right? Yeah.
We got more people without health insurance. We got more underfunded schools. These are things that really move women, and once that campaign has moved back into talking more about them and less about Guard service versus Navy service versus...
Sure, sure.
Service.
And I think that the Kerry is hot bumper stickers are going to help.
I think it's incredibly effective. Yeah. Those are really effective.
You can't deny the fact of a pussy. And you're right, though. The number of uninsured Americans is now at 45 million. That's baffling.
Yeah, five million this year.
It's unbelievable. Five million
since
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The average percentage increase in health insurance premiums during the first 3 years of the Bush administration was 12.5%. Percentage increase in workers' share family health care premiums since 2001, 50%. Average increase in the cost of family health insurance since 2001, $2,700. The decrease in number of jobs providing health insurance since 2001, 5 million. And 2005 increase in Medicare premiums for doctor visits. This is a new big helpful Medicare plan by George Bush. The increase is 17%.
and a total unwillingness to do the things that he could do to make it more more affordable, like negotiating with the drug companies or advocating for people to be able to buy drugs less expensively from Canada.
Sure.
These are fairly simple things that could be done.
Yeah.
It would make a huge difference to people.
Sure, if you care about people.
Yes. Yeah. If you care.
That's the big issue.
If you care about corporations, he's done a fantastic job.
Exactly. Thank you, Jen Bluestein, for being with us.
It was great
to see you again.
Great to see you guys.
And you take care of yourself and keep up the good fight. We'll be back in a second. It's 49 past the hour with the Dog of the Week on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh. McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Come out and cheer, cause football is here. Root for your favorite, you waited all year. We got the best of the NCAA.
All the top teams.
Yeah!
Fight, fight, fight!
Here's to the red, white, and blue. Game day's upon us, so grab the whole crew. Skip all of us, go to Sirius for game times and schedule two. Woo-hoo.
Stewart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad.
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer.
Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those hedges?
Dad, please.
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
How are you? Wow, good morning. It's 53 past the hour. I got a mouthful of bagel. We're all sitting here talking.
Likewise.
Hold on. Oh, my God. We're all sitting here talking. I didn't even know we were coming back. We're just sort of like, wow, we had a couple conversations that lasted a long time with some people on the air, and we're eating our bagels, and all of a sudden that music comes on. And
we're ready.
Larson goes, are we coming back? I'm like, oh. Thank you.
No harm, no foul. Whoa!
Whoa! There you go. 53 past the hour. That's the morning bell, the opening bell, and that means it's time for the morning's edition Friday Business Report. Well, this week there's bad news and good news on the business front. The bad news is 4 businessmen were executed for bank fraud, account theft, and bribery. The good news is their names were Wang, Li Ming, Mi Ping, Lang Xihong, and Wang. That's right. They're not Americans. So hang your coat back up and unpack those suitcases. There's no need to worry. It all happened in a faraway land called China. You see, the Chinese still operate under that primitive form of capitalism where it's considered a capital crime for an executive to rob you of your life savings. Whereas here in America, the most advanced nation on earth, executives can loot the pensions of thousands of people with no more punishment than an unflattering interview on 60 Minutes or maybe just a creepy snarl from Lou Dobbs. Now that's a return on your investment, friends. We here at the Morning Sedition Business Report strongly recommend following your dream. If you're the CEO of a company and you see the opportunity to pay for that third house or second wife, don't be shy. Dive into that pension fund. Sure, people will hate you, but not the kind you like to hang around with. So happy pilfering and stay out of China. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report.
Aw, yeah.
Now, do we go right into it? Yes, sir. It is time now for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Mark, this week's dog is actually more than one person. Mm-hmm. In fact, it probably includes thousands. We're talking about those who can generally be categorized as liberal whiners. Yes, you know who you are, and we know some of you even listen to us. You're the people who will find something to pick at, whether it's John Kerry or Mark Maron. Because, you see, Maron and Kerry are in the same swift boat as far as the whiners are concerned. Mm-hmm. Nothing is ever good enough. Maron makes a joke about cabbage and chicken lovers revolt. Kerry changes his staff and sharpens his message, but the whiners think he should be talking about something different. As Mark Maron's buddy Jim Loftus told us the other day, it's time to buck up and decide where you're at. Too much liberal whining, and we'll have this frat boy president for another 4 years. Then there will really be something to whine about. This is not to say that anyone, including us, is above criticism. In fact, there are times when we revel in it. Just don't make whining the reason you wake up in the morning, okay? Please? When Bush decided to go to war in Iraq, he said, either you're with us or against us. When it comes to deposing this incumbent presidential pretender, the same is true. So liberal whiners, dogs of the week, get over yourselves. This is a fight that's going to take all of us working together. So let's do this.
I'm going to have to do a new howl for that one.
That's right.
That was Mark Riley's Dog of the Week. Yeah, now Ellen out there is going to be really mad.
Yeah, the blog will go berserk over this. I'm pretty much guaranteed.
You know what? The blog isn't even listening. But if you want to join the bloggers, maybe they'll let you into their crew. Go to morningsedition.com and get on board. Don't be afraid. Maybe they'll let you in, and maybe they'll just be like, this guy is a troll.
You know what, Maron? I'm starting to get more and more optimistic. And I guess this kind of thing runs in cycles, but I'm starting to get more and more optimistic about the sharpening of John Kerry's message. And to some extent, I think Jen Bluestein is right. It really doesn't matter the machinations behind who's sharpening the message, who has which corner office, who's talking to who, and who's got more power, who's got less. The bottom line is, he is starting to sharpen and focus his message. And I think it's starting to pay some benefits.
You know what's amazing about it is that he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do all along, which is not get petty and stay with the issues.
Yeah.
And he's managed to do that with whatever shortcomings may have been occurring or whatever, was going on last month and whatever choices were made as far as how he's going to handle things in public. He's still running a very dignified campaign, which you certainly can't say about these, criminals that he's running against. People who, believe me, if those Killian memos turn out to be frauds, they were planted there by Karl Rove. He's done it before. These guys are willing to do anything devious, and it's beautiful that Kerry's message of integrity, authority, good leadership qualities is starting to come through.
Yep. And I think it's going to continue to come through.
I'm with you.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, New York Times Magazine writer Elizabeth Rubin, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Liberal Agenda, and much, much more, all for you here on Air America Radio.
My dad can throw a baseball. saw 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make corners come out of his nose. A whole big deal.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gelman. The violence escalates in Iraq with a car bombing this morning, wounding 20 in Baghdad. But American and Iraqi forces staged a series of raids at suspected hideouts of the insurgents, sparking a gun battle. More than 50 suspects were detained in the raid. It was centered in an area of the capital considered a no-go for American forces. Still no word on casualties stemming from the attacks. Over in Fallujah, doctors say 44 people are dead as a result of U.S. airstrikes in and around the city. Among the dead, women and children. They also say some 27 people were wounded in the strikes, including some 17 children. American military officials say the raids were targeting militants with ties to terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. With 46 days before the election, John Kerry is turning up the heat on President Bush on his handling of the crisis in Iraq. Kerry told in the tentative audience at the National Guardsmen Convention in Vegas yesterday that George W. Bush is clueless when it comes to Iraq.
He didn't tell you that with each passing week, our enemies are actually getting bolder. That Pentagon officials report that entire regions of Iraq are now in the hands of terrorists and extremists. He didn't tell you that with each passing month, stability and security seem further and farther away.
John Kerry at the Guardsmen Convention in Vegas yesterday. Kerry steered clear of the controversy over Bush's time in the Air National Guard during his attacks on Bush. Many of the Guardsmen say they could care less about all the back and forth over Bush's military record and the series of anti-Kerry ads on his time in Vietnam. They say they're more concerned about the issues that confront them today, and that's just what John Kerry delivered. President Bush presented Congress on Thursday with legislation to create a strong national intelligence director with authority to control the non-military portions of the nation's intelligence budget. The proposed director, recommended by the independent commission that investigated the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, would be the nation's principal intelligence officer, authority now wielded by the CIA director in his dual role as director of the Central Intelligence Agency. September 11th commission and others have faulted the intelligence agencies for failing to work together to stop the terrorist attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C. Sweden's ambassador to North Korea says he and other diplomats who were taken to the spot of a large explosion last week saw no evidence of a nuclear test. The explosion sent a large column of smoke into the sky and created a crater that could be seen by satellite. And a federal judge has ordered the Pentagon to find and make public by next week any unreleased files by President Bush of Vietnam-era Air National Guard duty. This to resolve a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by the Associated Press. Judge handed down the order Wednesday in New York. The lawsuit, the AP, has already led to the disclosure of previously unreleased flight logs from Bush's days piloting fighter jets. Pentagon hopes to have their search of the files completed by Monday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman.
He ruled TV for 4 years on SNL. Starred in unforgettable films like, his Sirius radio show rocks the nation. So what's the next incredible step for shooting star Jim Brewer? Opening for Incubus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Sirius road trips along with Jim to bring you his show and all the stuff that happens before. Jim Brewer, unleashed, unwashed, and probably a little drunk. Friday night, 6 Eastern, Sirius Road Dog, 147.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Roger and his wife are expecting, and their insurance doesn't cover delivery. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
What do you do when insurance won't cover the cost of delivery?
I'm self-employed, have an MSA. My wife and I are expecting a baby. Our insurance provider does not cover labor and delivery expenses. I'm wondering what my best approach is to go to the hospital and try to get some sort of a discount. What can I expect?
50% off.
How much?
50% off. Hospitals fight over OB business. You are holding a handful of aces, my man, and go in there acting like it. Go in person and shop the biggest three or four hospitals in the area that you're considering using, and then sit down with these guys and say, look, I'm trying to decide because I'm paying cash because I have an MSA. Which hospital I'm going to use, I'm going to decide that based on the level of services, the quality of the service, and the price. I've had lots of people do it over the years that I've suggested, and I hear typically like a $7,000 labor delivery for about 3 to 4.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to kids about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence. And that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
George Bush. Good morning, geniuses. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We've got a big Friday show. We've had a couple of great guests. It's been a great morning. What do you got going this weekend, Mark?
Actually, my in-laws, my father-in-law and his wife are coming up from Virginia for an art exhibit. My father-in-law is a really great artist.
Yeah, painter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does Caribbean-themed stuff. He's from Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of Caribbean-themed sorts of things, carnival and those kinds of paintings. And there's an exhibit that's going on at Fairleigh Dickinson University, which is in northern New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he's coming up for it because his work is being exhibited.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the theme of the exhibit? Is it just a general show?
Yeah, it's local artists.
Oh, okay, okay. I'd like to see that. I like painters. My mom used to do some painting. I have a great deal of respect for people who are capable of creating a painting that you can look at and say, wow, that is a finished painting. You know, because people are always quick to criticize painting. Like, anyone could do that. But even the most simple painting, you know, even if it looks like it's easy to execute, it has to have a certain amount of integrity to it from the artist has to be able to deliver. You know, like it's delivering a joke. It has to, like, you have to look at it and go, even if you don't like the painting, even if it seems like it's simple, there's a sense of wholeness to a real artist's work. My buddy Phil out in L.A. is also a painter, and I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for painters.
Yeah, me too, because I can't draw a stick figure.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's hard. It's hard to
very pull it up. Difficult, yeah. But, no, he's coming up for that, which means that, you know, my daughter gets to see her grandfather.
Oh.
And she's off from school today. Hi, Vivi. She's got a day off.
Vivi.
She's having a play date with one of her friends.
Why she the day off?
Rosh Hashanah, man.
Oh,
yeah. Happy holidays to all that are celebrating.
And I'm sure Viv is very excited about the Jewish holiday.
She wanted to convert, you know.
I am going to be at the Comedy Cellar tonight, late.
All right.
I'm on the middle show. I'm on at about 11:15. I can't remember. That's probably the 10 o'clock show or 10:30 show. I can't remember. And I'm on the early show tomorrow if you'd like to come see me do comedy for 10 minutes. But you can listen to me.
Fly in, please.
You can listen to me for 3 hours on the air. Now, we have turn to a sort of serious topic, definitely a serious story. A lot of things, one of the things you don't hear about in terms of the growing democracy in Iraq, if that is even a truism, which it doesn't seem to be, but the plight of women in Iraq is something you really don't hear much about. And the cover story in Sunday's New York Times Magazine tells what happens when an idealistic young woman is determined to help Shiite women participate in the democratic process in Iraq. The piece was called Fern Holland's War, and the writer of that piece is Elizabeth Rubin, and she joins us by the phone here in New York. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So you went to Iraq to investigate and write this story. Now, tell me what the story is, and through that, give us your impressions of Iraq.
Well, I went there. I was there in May and June. This is a story about a woman, an American lawyer from Oklahoma. She was 33, and she had worked in Africa setting up legal aid clinics for women and children in refugee camps. And she was looking to fund her Africa projects when she was asked to go to Iraq for the State Department in July of 2003 to help with democracy and setting up the rule of law, that kind of thing. And she went to the South. Actually, what's called South Central, which is in Hilla, Karbala, Najaf, the areas of the two Shiite holy cities where there was recent fighting.
Are they calling it South Central as sort of a joke?
It's kind of not a joke, no, but it's a good one if it was.
Yeah, really.
And you know, when she got there, there was a lot of the Americans were welcomed there, and she began setting up these human rights women's centers and tribal democracy centers, along with the other Americans from the CPA.
And this is a woman, Fern Holland, who was a lawyer in Oklahoma City.
Exactly. And Fern, her job began to get more difficult as the resentment against the U.S. grew. And in March, she was gunned down by, we don't know exactly who, but she was targeted. Her car was followed. She was with her Iraqi assistant, a woman named Sawa, and a former U.S. Marine named Bob Zangas, and all three of them were killed.
Now, I'm assuming that Fern Holland may have had a number of problems because, the Shiites practice, I guess, a pretty rigid form of Islam where women have a prescribed role and it's a role that they're not supposed to step out of. Am I right?
Well, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. I think that there are certain parts of the Shiite population that are like that. And it's very conservative in those two holy cities where women are totally covered. There are a lot of Shiite women who are in Baghdad who are not covered, who are, you know, doctors and lawyers and doing a lot of professional jobs and have pretty equal lives with their husbands. But she was working in the most traditional and most conservative area. So there was enormous resentment, and she had long blonde hair. She didn't cover her hair, and she really stood out, and she was indeed teaching them about independent thinking.
Do you think she was overly optimistic or misguided?
I think to begin with she was, but I think that she pretty much, she started to see, I could see in her emails, that she started to understand she was up against some really powerful religious parties who were beginning to hate her. And she was getting nervous. I don't think she believed she would be killed, but she did know what she was up against.
Was there any, or have there been ongoing efforts to bring her killers to justice?
You know, it's, as you can imagine, it's not that easy for FBI officials to go around South Central Iraq asking questions these days. But they are in charge of the case, and they have been talking to Iraqis who have been doing investigations. They seem to know the group that killed her, which is a group of sort of thugs and religious fanatics.
Are they affiliated with anybody that we would know?
Well, that's the point. They don't know who did them, who was the sort of motivating factor behind it. One of the interesting things in the story is that I went to see one of Muqtada al-Sadr's spokesman. He's the guy who was leading this whole Shia uprising.
Sure, we're familiar. Yeah.
And this guy is a cleric, and he began to cry when I talked to him about Fern. And he had her picture on, told me he kept her picture as a screensaver on the computer, and that he thought she was wonderful and what she was doing was amazing and that it was just incredibly inhumane that she was killed this way and that he had gone to investigate what had happened. He had a version of it. I don't know if it's the truth, but it's certainly one of the people he mentioned is a guy that a lot of people have said it was involved in the killing.
Did but the Bush administration have a reaction?
I think they did. Certainly Wolfowitz did, and she was considered, you know, she was given the Defense for Freedom Award.
Okay.
Now, when you mentioned the spokesman of al-Sadr, was there ever any doubt in his mind from what you gathered that Fern Holland was the target of this? I mean, she died with more than one person. I'm just curious if this person really believed that she was the target of the killers.
Yes, everybody believed she was the target of the killers because she was known, her car was known. And not only that, when they were chased down on the highway, some of witnesses saw the guys shouting to the back in Arabic, which is where Salwa, the translator, was sitting, which means that they had to have known pretty well who was in the car and who they were killing.
Now, did when the administration, the State Department, did they have a specific reaction to this?
No, I'm not sure.
Because I was under the impression that an official spoke to you from the State Department.
Oh, that's an unofficial reaction. If he was very upset with the way that it was handled, her work, because he feels that she was putting herself out on the line, very visible, working for... to get these very good news stories out at a time when there were none.
Right.
And every time she would open up another women's center, Ambassador Paul Bremer would fly down in a chopper with a lot of bodyguards, surround the place. He'd come in, give a big speech, fly away, and raise a lot of anger in the neighborhood, and that, you know, he was in there with their women.
Okay.
And Fern was left behind with no protection, and she was the one that everybody knew.
So they wanted to capitalize on her success.
Exactly. And it was definitely pushing. I mean, they were pushing for these things, and there were constant discussions about, do we have a high-profile ribbon-cutting ceremony or not? And, of course, they always chose to do that. And so the State Department official, felt that if they were going to do that, then you have to provide security for this woman.
Right.
Fern. And there wasn't a lot of security for her.
Then
they go around in a civilian car driving herself.
That's awful. So what do you think this implies for the future of Iraq?
What a big question.
Okay. Well, you can make it small.
The future of Iraq does not look very pretty these days.
Sure.
I mean, it just, I don't see anything positive right now. I see the potential for civil war. I don't see that we're able to control the situation. And certainly in terms of women's rights, I mean, men don't have any rights. You know, it's sort of, it's a side issue at this point.
Yeah, just human rights seem to be a tremendous obstacle there.
Well, people are just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing that's going on over there. And I really appreciate you being with us, Elizabeth Rubin.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Wow.
That's going to be on the cover of this weekend's New York Times magazine, this Sunday's.
The forecast is not good on any level, you know, about what's going on there. We're going to talk a little bit about Bush's National Guard service. We're going to talk about Kerry. We're going to talk about flip-flop Bush. We're going to talk about the power of John Kerry's momentum to talk about the issues, because
why don't they talk about the issues?
Ah, he is. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public. Yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. Seven conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at AirAmericaRadio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s. And The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit AirAmericaRadio.com and help make a difference.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome!
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good! Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach. Sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist because the Nature Conservancy works locally to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. Help save the last great places. Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org.
Past the hour, it's Friday. I'm excited it's Friday. I'm going to take a two-day nap. You know what I mean? What am I going to do tomorrow? You know, without my wife in town, Riley, I get bored. I go nuts. But I got those four dumb cats.
You know what you do? Have lunch in one of those lovely outdoor cafes
in Queens.
Yeah, man.
Be Euro.
Go Euro, man.
I can definitely
wear black.
Go Euro.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's Morning Sedition. My cats are doing fine. Maybe I'll talk about it in a minute. I imagine that people will eventually be like, all right, with the cats. One of them's coming around. I'm force touching them. I can't. There's no crime in forcing a cat to like me, is there?
No.
Well, they're in a cage, and I pet them, and they're like, but then they're like, all right, go ahead. All right, that's all right, here we go. Ramon brought this earlier. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Repeat secret mantra. It's okay to lose in Iraq as long as we win in November. It's okay to lose in Iraq as long as we win in November. 12:45 p.m. Victory 2004 rally, Grand Hyatt, Washington, D.C. Begin speech with, it's great to be here in Washington. I don't get here too often. 3:45 p.m. You know what? He could actually start with that. 3:45 p.m. Take part in Focus on Women's Issues event, Charlotte, North Carolina, Merchandise Mart. Keep speech brief. Don't want to keep the ladies from the shopping. 5:50 p.m. reception at private residence in Charlotte, closed to the press. 5:55 p.m. the ceremony begins. Induct first female member of Skull and Bones, Condoleezza. Get out the paddles. This is gonna be sweet. 10:30 p.m. arrive Kenny Bunkport, Maine. Awkward meeting with Dad. Has he read the Kitty Kelly book? Hope I'm not in trouble. 12 o'clock, midnight. Lights out. 2:30 a.m. Sneak out the boathouse. Look for my old stash under the floorboards. Throw it out? Probably. 3:45 a.m. Pack to bed. Hope I can sleep. Hope I can sleep. Boom, 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 boom. Maybe I should call the ISI and get some smack. I added that last part. That actually wasn't in the president's daily schedule. Okay, I added the part about the smack. Okay,
yes.
I don't want to seem like we're being unfair and unbalanced here by making, you know, implying that the president would do heroin because. All right, look, Riley, we've got John Kerry speaking in Las Vegas to the National Guard.
Yeah.
Like 2 days after Bush does, and just saying, you know, just going right to it.
Slamming him.
Just going right. Bush sat there and, like, put himself in line, a long line of presidents that had served in the Guard and made it seem like he was, you know, some sort of, you know, dignified president. And then he said he was proud to be in the Guard. He just doesn't remember meeting a lot of people when he was in the Guard. But Kerry, you know, just standing in front of the same group of guys, which when I was watching him take the stage, I watched Bush take the stage, and Bush gets this moment where he's like, all right, I got to, you know, and then he you see him muster up all this weird bully juice in order to make a presentation. Now, Kerry, as a performer, to know that, you know, Bush got a large ovation, you know, he is the commander-in-chief, he is, you know, the head of the military, and for Kerry to go up there and just, you know, just be who he was, be grounded, take the stage, you know, and deliver his message, that takes some serious nads. You know, it just takes, like, and to not be daunted by anything. You know, he looked solid. Can we hear that bit?
He didn't tell you that with each passing week, our enemies are actually getting bolder. The Pentagon officials report that entire regions of Iraq are now in the hands of terrorists and extremists. He didn't tell you that with each passing month, stability and security seem further and farther away.
You know, and the interesting thing about the National Guard and this whole story around the Killian memos, around Dan Rather, around whether the memos are forged or not, it doesn't matter whether they're forged or not. It'll matter to me personally because I really want to believe that they're real, and I believe that everything within them, you know, is real, and I believe that if they are forged or if they continue this conversation, this is exactly what Karl Rove planned. Karl Rove has done this before. Karl Rove has planted information in places just to take the conversation a different direction, because now if, you know, just by it being accused of being a forgery, the incredible dialogue, the incredible... why did I even use the word incredible? The dialogue changes. It becomes about the credibility of the press and not about Bush's record. But thank God there's a federal judge and a former Texas Air National Guard official who are still, you know, going to, you know, try to get to the bottom of the time gaps.
This is U.S. District Judge Harold Baer Jr. He ordered on late Wednesday here in New York. And this is in response to a suit from the Associated Press. And they now have to, the Pentagon has to make public any unreleased files about President Bush's Vietnam-era National Guard service. This is, again, to resolve this Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. They have until September 24th to turn it over to the AP and to provide a written statement to the court by September 29th detailing the search for more records. Now, before we go any further,
yeah,
let's talk about something that we know is not a forgery.
Right.
Why do I know this? Because I am reading a transcript from February of this year. It was a press briefing by Scott McClellan, and it was issued by the White House.
Good.
This transcript.
Okay.
Now, let's go over this real, real quick, because we have a little time before the break here. Okay, I think these documents show you, this is McClellan, I think these documents show that he fulfilled his duties. These documents show that he met his requirements. Question, Scott, two questions, one on the documents, one on the issue. There seems to be a discrepancy now in the president's record that I wondered if you could help me with. These documents that you're holding up show the president showed up for duty in October and November of 72, January, April, and May of 73. But the president's officer effectiveness report, filed by his commanders, Lieutenants Colonel Killian and Harris, both now deceased, for the period 01 May 72 to 30 April 73, says he has not been observed at this unit where he was supposed to show up and earning these points on these days. How do you square, Mr. McClellan, which, you're talking about which unit? Question, the Texas at Ellicott Air Force Base from 72 to 73? Question, correct. And certainly by the president said he returned to Texas in November of 72. So some of these dates of service, which are in these records, ought to have been noted by his commanding officers, who nevertheless twice said he has not been observed there.
unbelievable. It's just it's so clear that this guy was treated preferentially. Lieutenant Governor Ben Barnes, who was the Lieutenant Governor of Texas at the time, you know, greased the machinery to get him in. That's proof. That guy's still alive. By all accounts, you know, he was, you know, pretty much AWOL in Alabama and Boston. And a former Texas Air National Guard official who served at the same time as President Bush says he believes the bigger story about gaps in Bush's service. So it's all coming down. We'll talk about it a little more after this. We're also going to talk about Bush's flip-flopping. We'll take your calls, 866-303-AAR0, 303-2270.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free, informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an ebook available for download via the Internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695 9599.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. American and Iraqi forces staged a series of raids in parts of Iraq this morning in a bid to put down the insurgency. The militants have been on a tear in recent weeks, stepping up their attacks on American forces and those in support of American interests. September has proven to be one of the deadliest months for American soldiers since April of this year. Three new polls are out this morning in the presidential contest. Two of the polls have the race at a dead even, but the third poll by the Gallup organization has put Bush with a 13-point lead over Kerry. That poll is undergoing considerable scrutiny since many believe Kerry is turning the tide of the contest with attacks on Bush and his handling of Iraq. The Congressional Watchdog Group, the Government Accountability Office, says the United States military may run out of the National Guard and reserve troops for the war on terrorism because of existing limits on involuntary mobilization. The government is considering a change in policy to make members subject to repeated involuntary mobilization. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Come out and cheer, 'cause football is here. Root for your favorite, you waited all year. We've got the best of the NCAA.
All the top teams.
Yeah!
Fight, fight, fight.
Here's to the red, white, and blue. Game day's upon us, so grab the whole crew. Skip all the butts, go to Sirius for game times and schedule too.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Are bi-weekly mortgage payments a good idea? A caller wanted to know, and you'll find out after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Are bi-weekly mortgage payments a good idea?
What do you think about bi-weekly mortgage payments?
There's no real problem with bi-weekly, in essence, with the math. Let's kind of discuss what it is, okay? Bi-weekly is a half a payment every 2 weeks, and it takes a 30-year mortgage, and at 7 or 8%, we'll pay it off in somewhere around 22 years.
Right.
So it will save you thousands of dollars in interest. But the biweekly portion of it is not what makes it happen. What makes it happen is that you're reducing the principal very aggressively. You're paying extra on the house, and the way that happens is that there's 26 two-week periods in a year. 26 halves, that's 13 whole payments. So the reason it pays off early is because you paid an extra payment a year, not because you did halvesies every 2 weeks. There's really no magic to the math of doing it every 2 weeks in the world of mortgage. Anything that causes you to pay off your mortgage early is a fine idea.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Thirty 33 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning Tradition on Air America Radio. A couple things I want to get through this right now. Now it's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Relatives of Those Slain Are Starting to Bellyache. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that during a speech yesterday by the First Lady, the mother of a soldier killed in Iraq began crying out that you, the President, killed her son. Fortunately, her anguished cries were quickly drowned out by the mob chanting, Four more years! Four more years! Four more years! Security was able to remove her before the crowd could kick her to death on camera, a scene that your opponents would undoubtedly use to their advantage. This unfortunate incident highlights a problem. It turns out our soldiers killed in Iraq have loved ones back here at home. Some of them are going to overreact. As far as dealing with tormented, angry relatives, we suggest you follow the example of your wife. As the distressed mother of the deceased was dragged off in handcuffs, the First Lady maintained a complete lack of compassion. She stared ahead with her best Rose Garden smile and went back to linking Iraq to 9/11. There may be more such incidents. The latest numbers are this, 1,026 dead in Iraq, and you're up 13 points in the polls. Just stay the course, sir. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. I don't know what polls they're looking at, but let me get this out here quick, because, you know, the truth of the matter is that it's amazing how quickly the Republicans and the right-wing media propaganda machine is willing to jump all over Dan Rather for trying to report on something that he thought it was true, yet they don't hold the president, their president, you know, to the same standards as a news reporter who may have been duped by one of their own operatives. You know, this is, it just, you know, it eats me a little bit that, you know, there's never been a bigger flip-flopper than George Bush. George Bush, you know, is by far, like, I mean, listen to this. I mean, in May 29, 2003, Bush says, we found the weapons of mass destruction, we found biological laboratories. For those who say we haven't found the banned manufacturing devices or banned weapons, they're wrong. We found them. February 7, 2004. There's theories as to where the weapons went. They could have been destroyed during the war. Saddam and his henchmen could have destroyed them as we entered Iraq. They could be hidden. They could have been transported to another country, and we'll find out. And now he says there's no, because Colin Powell said we're probably not going to find anything. And there isn't any. That's why. How about this? You can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror. That's what George Bush said, September 25th, 2002. September 17th, 2003. We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in September 11th. There is no evidence. And the fact that the First Lady is still insinuating that, and they're all insinuating that, it just means they're lying. And and the truth of the matter is, now they're linked thanks to the unilateral invasion of Iraq. How about this? The UN resolution on Iraq, March 6, 2003. Bush says, no matter what the whip count is, we're calling for the vote. We want to see people stand up and say what their opinion is about Saddam Hussein and the utility of the United Nations Security Council. And so you bet, it's time for people to show their cards to let the world know where they stand when it comes to Saddam. And then March 18, 2003, at a National Security Council meeting convened at the White House at 8:55 a.m., Bush finalized a decision to withdraw the resolution from consideration and prepare to deliver an address to the nation that already had been written. He is the biggest liar, and they don't even hold him to the same standards that they're trying to hold newsman to, because they're trying to align the liberals and the Democrats and the media so they can just spin the truth, that all of a sudden the truth becomes completely questionable, and there's no barometer for information aside from what comes out of the right and propaganda machine.
It's an incredible thing that we have going on here, and this briefing from February 10th of 04 with Scott McClellan is one of the most incredible documents you will ever want to see. Maybe we can get Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, to actually make this one of his picks. It's 15 pages long, but folks, it is well worth reading. Scott McClellan tap dances better than Gregory Hines
right
through all of this. I mean, and these are very specific questions about where Bush was, where he served, how come no one remembered the fact that he was serving. And eventually the press, I mean, they moved on to other topics, but eventually the press was satisfied with McClellan's end dance, which was to say, well, he served, he was there when he was supposed to be, the payroll records we've released to you, which are all the records we have, are, you know, complete, and he served his time. Now, a judge says, well, no, the records aren't complete. You have to release, the Pentagon, that is, everything you've got, because they're coming out in dribs and drabs. You said they were complete in February. They weren't. We had documents that have come out as recently as August and September of this year. Why is there this this whole cloud of questions around George W. Bush's service. And I'll tell you why. Because it, I think, boggles the mind of anyone who's been close to the military that someone could serve in a unit and no one be around to say, yeah, I saw him.
Especially a loudmouth, smart-ass, blow-monkey freak like our president. How could you not know that guy was around? He makes himself known everywhere he goes.
You would think, I mean, look, when Lizzie Grubb, and a lot of people may not know who she is, but she was a big publicist here in New York. She got busted out on Long Island for calling somebody white trash when she ran over him or something. She ended up going to jail, right? Yeah. How was she treated when she was in jail? Everybody sucked up to her because they figured, hey, this is a woman with a lot of money. All right, so now you've got the son.
A lot of cons going, I got an idea for a book.
Or, listen, can you return my call when I get out?
Yeah.
All right, now here's George W. Bush, the son of privilege in a National Guard unit, presumably with some people who are not of similar privilege. Don't you think somebody would have been sucking up to him just in case?
So your reason, what you're saying, Mark Riley, is the reason there's so much controversy is clearly they got something to hide.
Yeah, they got something to hide. The fact that he didn't stink and serve, that's
absolutely
what they're trying to hide.
Absolutely, and it's amazing how they're changing the language. Even this federal judge, it's easy to tell what they're going to say. Bush will just say, apparently there's some interest by a reactionary judge.
We need to get off the bench anyway.
Right, exactly. We got to take your calls after this break. The number is 866-303-2270. We got the talking. Now we'll talk to you, I promise. So come back. It's 39 past the hour, Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
And it's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool.
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun.
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
What was your name again, Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
feels good to be a gangster.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, this is Mark Maron, Mark Riley, Mornings Edition, Air America Radio. And we're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to you, Bill, in Indianapolis. What's up?
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
How are you?
All right.
I'd just like to say I love you guys. You guys start my day every day.
Oh, appreciate thanks, man.
My comment is this. I can only stomach so much of the right-wing radio, but I listen to it to hear what the rhetoric from the other side is.
Yeah.
And after being nauseous, I changed the station back to Air America, thank God. But they keep on saying that it doesn't matter what George Bush has done in the past because he's a born-again Christian, and that whatever has transpired in this latter decade, you know, the coke, the drinking,
right,
womanizing, missing guard, that doesn't matter. What matters is that he's born-again Christian, and they seem to have the thought that the right wing has the lock on Christian values. And but Christian values means not lying and deceiving the public.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a sham. I'd find that frustrating. Well, Bill, you're a bigger man than me to even listen to do the research. I have to pay somebody to listen to them.
But you know what? This gets to something that we have in that network clip.
Yeah.
All right. If it doesn't matter because you're born again, you had your life transformed. When did he atone for what he did?
Yeah,
then.
And when did he atone for what he did in now?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that stubbornly refuses to have any real humility about mistakes. I mean, it baffles my mind that people would rather follow a guy who is committed to lies as opposed to a guy who has changed his mind based on facts and truth and wisdom. This guy has no ability for reflection or vision or even empathy. He is so unchristian, it's disturbing. They'd have a better shot at calling him. Hey, there's no reason to be mad at Bush. He's a Manchurian candidate. Somebody has planted something in his brain and magically erased his ability to remember who the hell he is or what the hell he's doing there at any moment. You know, it's just baffling to me that they could even say that. He's born again. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? What if you're not Christian? What if you don't believe in Christ? What if you don't believe in God? What about reason, rationality, wisdom? You know, just blind faith or the idea that somebody says that they are now worthy of respect because of a religious conversion, that's ridiculous.
Sure is.
But how do I really feel?
Yeah, there you
Dave
go.
Dave in Florida, what's he going to say? How
what
are
you got, Dave?
Hi, Mark.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Mark, I'm so frustrated with the campaign. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I
what's the matter?
Nervous.
What's the matter?
Because, Mark, you know why?
Why?
The Democrats had 4 years to prepare for this.
Yeah.
With all the debacle that's happening. Where is our Karl Rove?
Yeah.
Terry McAuliffe is doing an abysmal job in running this campaign.
Yeah.
Well, now, we should be fair. He doesn't run the campaign. Mary Beth Cahill is the campaign manager. What Terry McAuliffe runs is the Democratic National Committee. Now, you could argue that he hasn't been as effective as Ed Gillespie, who runs the Republican National Committee. But when you compare Karl Rove and Terry McAuliffe, you're kind of sort of comparing apples and oranges because Rove really does run Bush's campaign.
Yeah, and you also have to realize that, you know, we don't fight, you know, it's a good question. Do we fight as dirty as they do? Do we transgress the rules of politics, the rules of election standards, the rules of, you know, just being a decent competitor of telling the truth? Do we need to lower ourselves like that? Karl Rove is a lying, devious, criminal bastard. Dick Cheney is a lying, devious, secretive, criminal bastard. They will do anything, you know, not shy of allowing people to die in order to solidify and guarantee their power. Do we do that? Are we supposed to do that? Or do we have enough faith in the rational heart of humanity to make a decision based on what is important to people?
Dave, I understand what you're feeling because the feeling is that, you know, if they look at us like we're meat, we should look at them like they're meat. We should have a Karl Rove. We should have an evil genius. The argument is, of course, that Bill Clinton had James Carville, who was an evil genius as far as the Republicans were concerned.
But Carville would never do what Rove does. Carville would never set somebody up. Carville would not entrap somebody. Carville would not bend the parameters of the law or break them in order to get his guy in. The reason Carville is different different is he's a genius because of his passion and his commitment to ideals. Carvel believed in Bill Clinton. All these guys believe in is power. If it's not Bush, it would be somebody else.
You know, that's a very important point you just made, because it is really about the maintenance, the acquisition and maintenance of power. And they're already looking, by the way, no matter what happens November 2nd, they're already looking to 2008 and figuring, who can we get? Who's our perfect vehicle? Who's our vessel to maintain the power that we have?
Right. And God forbid that happens. I mean, people have really got to understand that, you know, we are fighting for our lives here. We really are fighting for the life of a decent quality of life in this country, of a certain amount of integrity to our democratic system, for a certain amount of integrity in the people that are guiding policy in this country. It's become such a parade of pigs and whores. It's just unbelievable how the political administration, this administration, and the Republican Congress and the House they don't care about people. All they want to do is exploit delusionary fanatics to mobilize their policies abroad and here that have nothing to do with helping the people of this country.
Ask yourself this question, Mark. Okay. How do you think you would have felt if you were a National Guards person at that convention out in Vegas and heard John Kerry recite bit by bit, piece by piece, George W. Bush's litany of failure in Iraq, and then you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I'm in uniform. I may have to go over there.
You know, I was thinking, though, I was putting myself in that head, and I started to think, like, you know, how could these guys cheer President Bush knowing that he didn't go? He didn't have the guts to go, and he was taken care of. How could they cheer him out of anything other than just, you know, habitual, as a protocol to cheer the commander-in-chief? And then I looked at John Kerry, and I thought, they got to be looking at this. This is a guy that fought, that made a decision to put himself in the line of fire to defend his country, then made a decision to question the integrity of the leadership at that time for making him put his ass on the line. And it turns out that he was right to question, and it was right to have a dissenting voice as a veteran. And I just have to assume that these guys must have looked at Kerry, some of them, the ones who were enlightened, and said, this is a dude that is decisive. And Cheney yesterday came out and said that we need a decisive leader. Look again at that tape of George Bush after he was told that the World Trade Centers were hit by a plane. You want decisiveness? How about a guy who has been in the line of fire and not a guy who has sent people to die for an agenda that they have that has nothing to do with the American people?
If you want to see what John Kerry is really all about, there was a scene the other day. We were watching. We couldn't figure out what it was. Kerry was speaking somewhere, and there was some commotion out in the audience.
Yeah.
And you saw, I saw, the look on John Kerry's face, which said, whatever's going on, you know, because it looked like they were wrestling somebody to the ground. I said, look, don't hurt him. Don't, you know, I mean, he didn't come out and say this, but you could tell by his body language and the look on his face that he did not want anything bad to happen to whatever or whoever it was that was causing the disturbance.
Yeah, he is. He's got a deep heart. You know, his only real, you know, it's not even a flaw. You know, what it is that, you know, he believes in the process of democracy. He believes that the people have, you know, inalienable rights in this country. And he believes that life can and will be decent for every American if government is done properly. He believes that. He is sensitive in that respect. You know, and he also believes in a certain, you know, type of, you know, respect for the position of senator, for the ability to be part of the democratic process. He's not a snake handler. You know, he's not a guy that gets people all worked up. You know what I mean? He's not, that's not the type of politician that he is.
True.
We got after this, I want to go, we're going to go over a little, just quickly, we got only a little time, but I'm going to go a little over, you know, how Bush has screwed the economy. And also I want to put to rest, you know, this, you know, is, you know, Kerry for the war, is he against the war, that and the liberal agenda after this. It's 52 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Are Americans better off than we were 4 years ago? In a new national poll conducted by Mother Jones Magazine, a strong majority of registered voters from across the country claim that the United States has gotten pretty seriously off on the wrong track. And half of those surveyed voted for George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential election. Take the poll yourself and view the complete results at MotherJones.com. Also at MotherJones.com, your daily mojo. Every day, the editors of Mother Jones scour the web for the day's most important stories and post them for you online. Mother Jones, strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book. Now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell them to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Serious.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SERIOUS.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've been in here about 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh,
how long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off? Yeah, I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We could leave a note.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
Nope.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
I don't know what Imus's problem is. We're coming in for landing. It's 55 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. What's the issue? It's not that hard to figure out where Kerry stands on the war. He thinks the war was a mistake. He authorized the president. Here, right here, it says, you know, when he voted, there is no flip-flopping. He voted to authorize the president to use force against Iraq so that Bush could go to the UN and get the inspectors back into Iraq, all right? And the other thing that he voted for was that, you know, Kerry, you know, Bush always says, you know, Kerry said, I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it. The truth of the matter is, what he voted for, all right, he wanted to support the troops. What he did support was the draining of the deficit. So he co-sponsored and voted for an amendment to the Iraq Reconstruction Bill that would provide the $87 billion by reversing the Bush tax cuts for the highest income group over 5 years. And, of course, that measure was rejected. Do you understand? That was what it is.
The top 2%.
So now
the richest 2%.
I don't understand what the lack of clarity is. I think that Kerry thinks the war was a mistake. It was based on a lie. It was authorized by a president that didn't go to the UN to get anyone's approval. He went in unilaterally. And on the other side of it, he has no idea how to get out. And I think Kerry says, well, we should do what we have to do and get out as soon as possible. Is that true, Jonathan Larson?
I think it's true. As young people say, true that.
And you're with it too? Now, quickly,
yeah.
Bush's economy has lost 1.1 million net jobs since taking office. That puts him on track to be the first president since Hoover to have lost, you know, jobs during his presidency. New jobs being created are paying an average of $8,000 a year less than the jobs that were lost. The number of Americans living in poverty increased by 1.3 million last year. The number of people living without health insurance grew by 1.4 million. Man. A little levity.
Exhausting, isn't it?
Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, Kerry's starting to hit this stuff. He has been hitting it, but now he's starting to hit it with the type of, you know, momentum that might make people wake up out of this fear-based hypnosis. Here's a Liberal Agenda 1. Call Dan Rather to offer support. Assure him, nothing ventured, nothing gained. 2, convince Carrie to appear in a new Nelly video to capture hip-hop voting. Fuck. 3, during New York Fashion Week, remind supermodels that if they want to become actresses, start acting fashionably liberal. 4, in the script of equality, in the spirit of equality, convince Blue Man Group to start Blue Woman Group spinoff. 5, insert this phrase into every liberal conversation. Quote, if Bush gets reelected, it's either leave the country or be put in a camp. Man.
All right. We'll be back on Monday with more of this, I think, here on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Good weekend, Marin.
You too, Mark.